Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, you ready for them? Hello, hello and welcome to all our listeners wherever you are in the world. Today, here in the United States, this day we pause to pay tribute, honor, and remember the lives lost in the terror attack of September 11, 2001. We also are mourning the passing of His Majesty the Queen Elizabeth II. This is The Cricket Show at www.blogtalkradio.com/The Cricket Show. Listeners in the United States can call us free of charge at 1-515-605-9850. Listeners who are unable to phone in, we want to hear from you also. You can send us an email to thecricketshow@comcast.net. Remember, the email address is one word, no space. Set your reminders to join us every Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time Zone. I am Dennis Heath, and here is your host, Leon Francis. Thank
you so much for that, Dennis. Very well put together. And I just want to welcome also Mertis Nisbet, who is all the way in the northern part of the country. Good afternoon to you, Mertis, of course. Again,
good afternoon.
A pleasure to be with you.
Same here from the Big Apple.
Amen.
Big Apple.
I'm sure you want to say hello to all your fans and well-wishers around the world because they are listening. They love to hear that soft and tender voice of yours.
Oh, wow. Same here. Good news to all the fans and the Cricket Show and all my family and friends who are listening. So I hope you all are having a good afternoon, Sunday afternoon. Dinner is already gone, and so we're just relaxing now. So we'll be here giving good news about cricket, lovely cricket.
Amen. We thank you so much. And we were hoping to hear from Phil, but we have not heard from him. So I'll just go right ahead and give the show his blessing. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening. We thank you for the moment you have allowed us to provide another show. We hope it may go on without any interruptions whatsoever, Lord. We thank you for what you have done for us over the past 12 years and trust that you will just continue to bless this show and make it improve from strength to strength. We want to pray especially for our loved ones and friends who are ailing in some way or the other, namely Dr. Leroy Lashley and his dear daughter, Lisa Lashley, and Bobsy Nisbet, of course, and Connie Whitley, Ellie Matt, a former host of ours, Everett Carter, Oliver Solomon, Mertis Nisbet, who is on with us this evening, El Camino Willett, Ralston Otto, Wentworth Francis, my brother, as well as Talbert Francis, Dennis Kelman, Joseph Gunshop, Willis and Mona Daniel, Lord Fillmore Hallpike, who will be with us a little later on, and Earl Stevens, as well as Jeanette Hughes, Dr. Roger Brown, Virgil Francis Jr., Linford McKenzie, a panelist of ours. We pray for each and every one of those folks, Lord. We trust that you may just heal them from the top of their head to the sole of their feet, Lord. And we thank you for having the wonderful opportunity to serve along with those folks who help us along the way, who help us morally and financially. We trust that you will encourage them to help us keep the show on for another, as long as you desire for us to be with us this evening and forever. We're grateful for everything that is possible that you have done for us, and we trust that the show may go on forever. bless the ones who are running a little late, and would be in with us later, especially Mr. Linford McKenzie and, of course, Audley Watson. And Audley Watson, Mother Lord, we just pray for her as well. She's struggling. And Dennis Heath's mother as well. She's struggling with ill health as well. And we pray for the members of the nation of the UK as they lost the Queen, and she's so adored by all over the world, Lord. We trust that you will bless that nation, let it be a peaceful transition and no complications whatsoever. We trust that you just eradicate this country of all the remnants of the COVID-19. There's still some folks who have COVID, Lord, and we trust that you will take care of them. And all these we ask in your precious name. Amen.
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 Dennis, we had a very good week in a sense, but we lost Her Majesty the Queen, and from start, it's going to be a little strange for us to say, God bless the King. I don't know if you have gotten accustomed to saying, God bless the King, Mertris.
Yeah. Yes.
God bless the King.
Now we have to sing to the King.
Yeah, yes, God bless the King. Yes, indeed.
Yes.
And we have a great show lined up for you this evening. We have the finals of the Asian Cup, which was between Sri Lanka and Pakistan. We'll give you the score. Pakistan, 147 all out, replying to 170 for six. Sri Lanka winning this cup. And of course, we're hoping we'll give you the details later on as well. We have an encounter between England and South Africa. It was the third test match, and believe you me, it's almost to the end, because South Africa were dismissed for 118 and 169. England followed up with 158 and 97 without loss. It's the day four, although in actuality this is about 2 days cricket we have, and we've seen 118 and 169 and 158 and 97. I tell you, we'll talk about that because it doesn't seem right at all. Jamaica Towers versus Barbados, the latest match, and Jamaica Towers scored 156 from their 20 overs, and the Barbados Warriors, they eventually won by some 8 wickets, scoring 157 for 2. Of course, details are to follow. We also have the most runs scored in the tournament thus far, and the most wickets taken as well. We can give you a rundown later also of the matches that were being played. We can tell you for now that Barbados Royals, they're on top with 10 points. In second place are the Jamaica Talawas on 6 points. And St. Kitts Nevis. Patriots, they're in third place with 4 points. And Guyana Amazon Warriors, they're in fourth place, and in the fifth place are Trinbago Knight Riders, and at the bottom is the St. Lucia Kings. And we do have a count as to the highest run scorer in the tournament thus far, and we'll just give you that name, and then we'll give you the others later on, time permitting. Brandon King, he has the most runs so far, a total of 89 runs? That doesn't sound right. 89 runs? Okay. And then the most wickets. We do have 10 wickets by Mohammed Aimer. Azari Joseph, he's also captured 10 wickets, but with an inferior average. We'll tell you more about that, of course. We'll give you the rundown of what the matches to follow, as time permitting. New Zealand A team are touring India, and the first two matches were drawn. I'm sure they're high-scoring matches. The first one was played on September the 1st and ended on the 4th. Second was played on September 8th and ended on the 11th. and both matches were drawn. The other match is scheduled to begin on the 15th, and it will go until the 18th, and we hope we'll get a result there. New Zealand are set to tour Australia. At least they have toured Australia, and they were whitewashed in all three ODI matches. The first, they lost by 2 wickets. The second, they lost by 113 runs. And in the third ODI, Australia just continue winning by some 25 runs. So clean sweep there for Australia over New Zealand. And we're going to take you a little further field because we're going to tell you about the upcoming Men's World Cup, which is scheduled to be played in Australia from the 16th of October to the 13th of November. And, of course, it's the ICC tournament, and it's going to be a T20 format. And group stages, and the special round will be the group stages, and then the knockout. And the host is Australia, and there are 16 participants, of course, and the 45 matches. When we say 16 participants, because some matches, some teams had to qualify, and one of them, not nice for us to mention, but the West Indies is one of the teams that has to qualify. We'll tell you more. A little bit about tennis, the U.S. Open, and we were very, very, very happy to see a young man, Francis. He has a name like me without the E. And Tiafoe Jr., born in the USA of their Sierra Leone parents, and he came up to be ranked number 24th. One stage, and believe it or not, in one day after having beaten Nadal in one of the qualifying matches, his earnings went up from $3 million to $6 million. But we'll tell you more about that. And we're following the Rudd, Casper Rudd versus Carlos Alcaraz. And when last I checked, Carlos has won the first set. And, of course, you know, the young man, 18 years old, he's the one who took out Francis Taifa. And we're going to mention a young man out of Antigua, too, because like Tiafoe, Raya Benjamin is the son of one of West Indies' greats, Winston Benjamin, and he was born in the USA of Antiguan parents. And he specializes in the 400 meters and the 400 hurdles. And in the World Championship, he was the second, he came second, and that made him the second fastest man in this tournament as a hurdler. And the time that he recorded puts him second in the world history. So that's a big, big rank for him. And just recently, the Antiguan government awarded him an ambassadorship to really promote the nation, and he was so happy and proud of it. So he had a gold medal for the USA in their 400 meters relay, and he has a silver, I think he has a championship in 2019 in the 400 meters hurdles. Okay, and we talked a little bit about the U.S. Open tennis, and time permitting, we will go through more details. But at this point, we're going to just bring in, I think we see Audley, he's present, and he's going to tell us a little bit about Marubi. And, of course, welcome, Audley. Good evening to you, Audley. Hope all is well with you. And let me see, we may have had Donna, too, as well. So, Audley, Murchis is on. Dennis is on, and of
yes,
course,
I'm
I
here.
And Don, I see as well. Go right
okay,
ahead.
Okay, so good evening to all my fellow panelists. And Donna and Ms. Murchis, you are considered part of the panel, all right?
Okay.
And good afternoon to Mr. Dennis Heath because of his different time. He's in California. And, of course, a special one to Ms. Donna. Yeah, Ms. Donna B., when I say Donna, I'm looking at her. We met at Iva's wedding, of course. So Donna, live in living color. Yeah, good evening to you.
Good evening,
right,
good evening.
All right. And for all the listeners throughout the world, it's good morning, good afternoon, good evening to you all. And we're here for another wonderful cricket show this evening. Marub, she is still in rehab, and I think she's going to be here for quite a while. And for those of you who may be coming in late, hearing for the first time, my mom got a massive stroke. You know, she got a clot in her brain, and it gave her a stroke that caused the left side of her body to, you know, just go dead. And but she's a fighter. She's 92, but she is fighting. And now, you know, her speech is very slur and stuff. And she's coming back, and her wits, everything is there. She's asking when I was going to the wedding. She said, "When are you going to Ivor's wedding?" I say, "No, I'm leaving today." That was the Friday, you know. And and she sent all best wishes and everything. So she's everything is there. She goes off a little while for a little sometimes, but that's gonna be expected, you know, for some time. But otherwise, everything is there, and so she has been discharged from the hospital, and she's now in the rehab. So the long haul continues. So you know, I'll be going there. My sisters Jean and John, they are there every day. They're living over in that area, but I'll be going there tomorrow again. Spend some good time with her. So that's a report on Marub. So let's have a wonderful show.
Indeed. Let's hear from Donna. Donna, you have anything to report to us? Or any news to share with us before we go into the meat of things?
No, nothing to report right now.
Okay. Thank you for being our company. And we're happy.
So you're not even going to tell them how you dance off your foot at the wedding? You're not even going to tell them?
She's keeping secrets, Donna.
Keeping quiet.
Secret. Yeah, she's keeping a secret. All right.
Yeah. Well, Audrey, why don't you give us the inside edge before we go into the meat of it?
Oh, okay. The inside edge for this evening. We have often talked about wicket keepers. Of course, talk about West Indies, talk about Derek Murray, Jackie Hendricks, and Dujon. Rod Marsh from Australia, Alan Knott from England, and Wasim Bar, just talking, wicketkeepers. We always discuss wicketkeepers. But have you ever, and of course, the main wicketkeeper that changed the whole, revolutionized the way people think about wicketkeeper, Adam Gilchrist. But have you ever thought about which wicketkeeper that made the first century in Test cricket? Have you ever thought about it? Maybe not. Well, let me clear it up. The first wicketkeeper to score a century in Test cricket, his name is Henry Wood. Henry Wood. It's not Henry Francis, Mr. Francis. Henry Wood.
Henry Wood.
Henry Wood of England.
Okay.
And he scored 134 not out against South Africa. And that was just call it 15 years after the first test match. It was made on the 19th of March, 1892. And, of course, test cricket started in 1877. So 15 years after the test match was played, the first century by a wicketkeeper, his name is Henry Wood from England versus South Africa back in 1892. There we go, another inside edge.
Yes, we have with us. Yes, thank you so much for that, Audley. We have with us Jetin. Good afternoon. Whenever he comes on this early, you know what's happening. He has a hot date, so we have to make sure that he comes in. Jetin, you're on.
Yes, good evening, everyone.
Good evening, sir.
Coach.
Floor is open to you. I know you usually come in early with... And something before we go into the break.
It just came out. I'm driving, so I said, let me join little early. And then keep pitching whatever is happening. The good thing is today was the wrap-up of Asia Cup, where the Sri Lanka outscored the Pakistan to become a champion. And the Asia Cup is like a roller coaster, especially for three other teams. India did started well, but did not make it because when they lost to Sri Lanka and Pakistan both, they were knocked out from the finals. similar story to Bangladesh when they lose to Afghanistan as the first upset. They never got bounced back. And they did not make it even top 14. Mm-hmm. And the Hong Kong was not expected. And that's how they fall off from the playoffs. But looking at this performance by the Sri Lanka, this is the positive side. Because looking at the situation in Sri Lanka as politically, economically, financially, as well as their performance in cricket for the last 3-4 years, I will say they were down to bottom. But this Asia Cup shows us one thing very clearly, that they are picking up the momentum. They were in the rebuilding process of their team for the last 3-4 years, and looks like they finally found the chemistry to put together a best qualified potential players from the country. And if you look at it, they started the Asia Cup as an underdog, but they started winning. And when they reached the final four, means Super Four, they won each game they played, including today's final. So that is the rise of Sri Lanka. Don't forget, they may repeat the story of 1996 World Cup when they won, because at that time they were in a similar situation that they were looking for a lot of talent to join with a couple of legends they had. And because of that, they were able to become a champion. And this team proved it. They can face anybody on any given day. And especially for T20, I will say this is the strong side. I watched the highlight, and I will say a lot of catches they took today are not just excellent. It's amazing that they have raised the building standard at this level, the top of the class, I will say. And because of that, I will say World Cup will be more competitive than we thought. So that's the only big update we have. There is a women cricket going on in Dubai, where the USA is playing against UAE as well as Zimbabwe, and there is a Thailand team down there. And this is the match is ongoing as the USA, the World Cup T20 qualifier, they call it. I believe the top two teams can go from this particular tournament, and they might have another qualifier going in Europe or somewhere else, but that's a good thing. But unfortunately, as expected, looks like USA lost first two games. They lost against Zimbabwe for sure for 5 wickets. Mm-hmm. And I believe they lost another game today. But a good thing on USA side is they have more than, I think, 7 players who are the teenagers, under 19 players. Mm-hmm. And because of that, 6 of them made the international debut yesterday in the first game. So that's a good sign in terms of bringing new players and build a team with the young players. And so that makes more sense for the USA, where we are looking for a future. It's not about looking at winning and finding the effective team overnight, but yes, this is the groundbreaking, we can say. We need to take a few more years where these young ladies can take more opportunities and chances to play. And down the road, 4-5 years later,
Coach,
we can expect the performance. Sure, go ahead.
Coach, yeah, Coach, I think I heard you say the USA lost the game today, but that was not quite correct. The USA and PNG game was a tied match. That was USA scored 205 for 10 in 47 overs, and Papua New Guinea scored 205 for 10.
No. Dennis, we are talking woman cricket.
Ah,
that is the
my
man.
My apologies.
Man.
I'm talking woman cricket qualifier going in Dubai.
My
we
apologies, Coach.
At the time, we have another men's team is playing in PNG.
Okay.
That's a 50-over game. Women are competing in a 20-over game tournament.
My
so
apologies.
That was, I was ready to bring you next one. It was a tie. And it's the second time USA end up tie in a 50-over game. And that is like a very promising thing. But looks like USA is doing well, even we have a good team down there. But coming back to the US woman is just like we are looking at the future, the potential that these young girls can take us. That would be the beautiful thing to say. The third point I wanted to discuss is the minor league. We talked about last week. Seattle beat Atlanta Fire to become the champion for this year, which is the Toyota $350,000 money. Not sure which team got how much, but that thing is wrapped up. And this is the second full season by the minor league. We are expecting a better future next year, which is also a coming closer to a original plan where the USA Cricket and ACE has declared that Major League to be launched in 2023. So now we have to wait and watch to see how they make progress and what are the things they are bringing on table in terms of what I hear is about six teams in the six big cities. But even that plan is there, we are not sure about how the season will begin in a major league in terms of the facilities, because none of those cities except Fort Lauderdale, that the stadium is good to go, I will say. So is still, I will say, wait and watch how they make the progress within next 6-7 months, and that can create a stage to platform the first ever Major League Cricket. But yes, we hear as far as the news concerned, they are potential to launch, and now it's a matter of time to get more information as official media release from them. So those are the few things I had on board, and I'd like to get it back to Leon to carry on.
Yeah, Dennis, are you on with us? I'm sure. Okay. Yeah, thank you for that, Dayton. And Audley, any mention, anything of interest? Oh, we're trying to see if we could get back Dennis. Dennis, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here, yes.
Okay.
Yes,
okay. I was wondering if you had anything to add to what Dennis, Virgil had to say. Not Virgil, but Dayton had to say.
Coach.
Yeah.
Yes,
Coach.
Yeah, I have a couple of points that I wanted to raise with the coach. And the first one, going back to the Asia Cup. Coach, you know, a wise man once said that there are only two things in life that are guaranteed, death and taxes. However, to these two things, coach, I added a third. Having some background noise.
I'm getting a whole lot of noise, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting a whole lot of noise in the background.
Okay. Okay. All right, that's better. So, coach,
yes,
I was saying that, you know, a wise man once said there are only two things in life that are guaranteed, death and taxes. However, to those two things, coach, I added a third. The third guaranteed thing in life is that India will reach the final of the Asia Cup. Yes, I thought I'm on a roll. So why stop at three things, coach? So I decided to add a fourth guaranteed item to life daily struggles. The fourth things in life is that India will win the Asia Cup. Today, recent events have shown that I am not yet a wise man, coach. India failed miserably to reach the Asia Cup final. In fact, Team India performance did not live up to the prediction. Virat Kohli's massive 122 not out came in their last consolation match in a winning total of 212 against struggling Afghanistan, who scored 118. India's success in T20 matches have been legendary until this 2022 Asia Cup. Failure coming this close to the opening match of the T20 World Cup, coach, 4 weeks away, give pause and cause to worry in the Indian camp and among supporters. The question is this: has India's past successes influenced the team's failure to take their opponents seriously? or more importantly, are the players showing signs of overwork and too much cricket in the last 2 years? India boasts an overwhelming amount of talented players, and if India is to continue to lead the T20 world, then the reserve replacement players must step up and perform. Coach, what is the future there for India in the upcoming World T20 Cup? Can you give us a little rundown as to their performance this time and how?
Well, the first thing is it was very clear when they visited West Indies and then went to the Asia Cup, they declared their intentions very clearly. They are resting some of their experienced players, right? And at the same time, they are giving the opportunities to the other players who may be capable or able to perform and prove it if they can make it the Team A, which is the top team, right? Looking at the situation, Asia Cup, they started really well, winning that first game against Pakistan. Even it was a close, and every time they play Pakistan, it's a close game. There is nothing new about it. But then they got some setback, like they lost Ravindra Jadeja for the rest of the Asia Cup. That was a big disappointment for the performance-wise for everybody. And then you can add on to Hardik Pandya, who had a little bit on and off season, especially in Asia Cup, did not go well either. So if you combine those things, we need to consider that the India played the ordinary cricket, let's say. But at the same time, they had a plan, not sure about winning, but they are looking for a World Cup team out of this Asia Cup and previous series against West Indies. And because of that, they put a lot of players on a sideline, and they are still mixing up or matching up, because even they went to the Asia Cup, they drop out that batsman, Shreyas Iyer, who was good against West Indies and in that European country as well. So we look at these things, and I will say it's still the puzzle to see who is making the team for the World Cup. But I will not be surprised that they will be sending fully fit and all potential good players to the World Cup. It's a different tournament. Asia Cup, to me, it looks like they took it lightly with the looking at the teams. And I will say the overconfidence killed them, because they should not have took at least Sri Lanka as that lightly. There's a one setback, I will say, when you are losing in a Super Four. You don't have much chances. It's a knockout stage. You cannot afford a lose. And what they suffer is two setbacks. They lost against Pakistan in a tight finish till the last over. And then immediately when you lost against Sri Lanka, it was over. So that's what is happening. So India is not a concern where we can predict or assess something out of this performance. But we need to see the selection committee's headache to see what are the final teams they're lining up. The only positive things I can see in this particular Asia Cup is Virat Kohli is coming back into the system. Because if you look at it, it was the beginning where the Virat Kohli was down for last few years. And then, if you guys don't believe it, Virat Kohli was given a complete rest. And if you have read the articles right, or if you understand right, he has not touched a bat or ball for 1 month. It's a complete rest to set his mindset properly. And look how he come back, 2 half-centuries and 1 century with the one duck. I will go for it. This is the players you want to back in the team who is having the potential to score it. The another concern, why the Virat Kohli is a big key for India is, if you look at from 2019, I think, he was at 18th century, same as a Joe Root in England. But all of a sudden, in last 3 years, Virat Kohli did not score a single century, but Joe Root did score 10 of them. So now that was a huge concern after the corona for India to find a original Virat Kohli who can be back in form. And they found it, I will say. And this will be the key for the next World Cup. So those are the lot of things the Indian heads are doing it. Right now, Bumrah is going in his fitness side, sure that he's ready for the fitness part. I doubt it. Jadeja can make it because his knee surgery is done, but the rehab takes 4 to 6 weeks, and I doubt it. He can be ready by that time. So if you look at this kind of situation, the India has to figure out the best possible team. And when they are playing without number of good players, it's all about finding the new people, if they can step in and work well. And what happened is here, if you look at the Asia Cup, I will say, a couple of players did not go well in terms of decision-making or performing in under-pressure situation. And that is what it happened, caused them the tournament. But again, if you look at the Asia Cup history, out of 11 or 12, India only has won 7. There are 5 times in the past somebody else win it. And also it's the same thing for Pakistan. They are disappointed today when they lose against Sri Lanka. If you look at this game, I believe after 14 overs, they were in a good shape to win it. They had all advantage and it was a possible. But all of a sudden, when you lose like 3 wickets in one over and the one bowler is taking care of business and all of this can turn foil, and that's how it's happened. If you look at their fall, like 5 wickets in the 19 runs, that is what did kill them. So Asia Cup is a good competitive tournament for the team from Asia. And these all teams are expected to do well in World Cup.
Thank you, Coach. Leon, it's the birthday hour for Audley. Are you with us? Audley's on mute. So let's see if we can bring Audley in.
Yeah, are you hearing me?
Yes, we're hearing you now, Audley.
Okay, I did not mute myself.
No, you're muted at his end. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, it's Walter
Henry's
birthday.
Mm-hmm. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Walter Henry birthday and anniversary hour. It's the time of the evening when we take a look at the cricket fraternity. Oh, yeah, as we heard the music in the background, yeah. We'll take a look at the cricket background and say happy birthday, say happy anniversary. And it's also your time to call in, 515-605-9850. 515-605-9850. Welcome to the Walter Henry birthday and anniversary hour. And as we go along, an occasional footnote. TV! Yeah. All right, so here we go. Walter Henry birthday and anniversary hour. I'm going to get started with the birthday of the late son of Cardinal Mill Shikhan. Shikhan would have been celebrating his birthday today. And Cardinal, you know, he's still saddened when the day comes. And I understand you just never get too used to death, you know, having a young, vibrant son. Would have been celebrating his birthday, but he died early in life. So, Shikhan, Cardinal, right. Today is Chris Gayle made his ODI debut against India back in 1999. Yes, 11th of September. And let us all remember 9-1-1, 9-11, why the term became popular right here in the United States, infamously anyhow, because of that 9-1-1 incident to the Twin Towers and in all, you know, Pentagon crash and the other that crashed outside. So it's like almost 3,000 souls, were just turned off that one day because of terrorism.
And let us not forget, it's back in 2001, 9/11, the infamous 9/11. And Jamaica has its own 9/11. So it was back in 1987 and 9/11 when Peter Tosh, international star, a reggae star, part of the original Wailers, also got killed, murdered at his home by Derek Laban, along with Jeff Dixon, who was a radio disc jockey, but he changed his name to Rasai Friai, and a whole lot of stuff in between, Kapariai. I just can't call his name. Yeah, he died too in the same instant, just happened to walk into what was happening, innocent man, and he got killed. And also another guy, Doc, I think he was a vendor, he was by Peter's house, he also got, so we have got our 9/11. And furthermore, Toots Hibbert's, you know, everybody know Toots, and they made Toots 5446 at one time. It was the fastest selling live record by the Guinness Book of Record. The song 5446 was my number. Yeah, he left us on 9/11 also, 2020. So we've got a little 9/11 going there, is it? Okay, cricket. Derek Seeley from Barbados. He's the youngest cricketer to play for the West Indies. 17 years and 122 days. And he beat Gary Sobers, who he was 17 years and 245 days. So he is the youngest player to have played test cricket for the West Indies. Derek Seeley out of Barbados. Oscar Da Costa from Jamaica. Lala Amanah, the man who made the first test century for India. Murali Kartik, Virendra Sharma, an umpire. Australia, Henry Cooper. And we have Netherlands, Alexei Kennedy. From Canada, we have Darren Ramsey, who is a wicketkeeper. And that's one next day, September the 12th. Sir Wesley Hall will be celebrating his birthday, and I think he'll turn 86. So Wes Hall will be 86 come tomorrow. Anita Sharma, female cricketer out of India. Waqar Hassan and Rahat Ali from Pakistan. Nathan Brockton and Max Walker from Australia. L. Anderson Markham and Richard Smell from South Africa. From Namibia, Dean Kotze, Barry Spearman from Canada, and we have Shernan Jayasuriya from Sri Lanka, Anand Peterson from New Zealand. For the 13th, Ryan Hurley out of Barbados, and Donovan Pagan from Jamaica, Percy Jones, Robin Smith, Arthur Mitchell, all from England, Shane Watson from Australia, Greg McMillan from New Zealand, Cecil Marshall out of Trinidad and Tobago, but he played for Canada. And we have Barry McCarthy from Ireland. For the 14th, Emir Richardson from Ireland, Dave Smith, Jeff Noblet, Seth Longley, Kepler Wessels, all from Australia. Patrick Gustard, umpire out of Jamaica, West Indies. Arthur Skoll, Herbie Wade, and Robert Harvey, all from South Africa. Jeff Crowe, Brandon Bracewell, and Nicola Brown from New Zealand. Charles Merritt, and Paul Arlott. There's something about Charles Merritt, and I'll have to look up his history, why he did not play more than one test match. He played a single test match. He's a leg spinner. And he took 5 for 37 in the first and 6 for 59 in the second. Versus the West Indies, and they won 1933-34. And that was the only test match he played. So I'll have to check why he did not play a second. 11 wickets in one match on debut and did not play again. Okay, for Pakistan, Amir Sohil and Amin Anwar, Robin Singh, from India, which he was born in Trinidad and Tobago, and Sarukumar Yadav also from India. Michael Rippon from South Africa. He played for the Netherlands. For the 15th, Nevis, we have Daddy Brown, Daddy Franklin Brown, the 15th of September. Yes, 15th of September for Daddy Brown. Happy birthday when it comes. Donna is on the line already. Okay, so and we may be getting some more calls for Daddy Brown for the 15th of September. Okay, West Indies, Patrick Rambo Patterson out of Jamaica, Michael Joey Carew from Trinidad and Tobago, and Renard Leverage, again, fast bowler out of Jamaica. Seth Peters, Philip Parker Lee, John Maguire from Australia, Richard Webb, Nathan Astell, Emily Drum from New Zealand, Abdul Qadir, yep, the mystery leg spinner, good batsman as well. He left us 6th of September 2019. Abdul Qadir from Pakistan, of course. Mike Proctor from South Africa. Steve Watkins from England. Saheed Wazar Ali from India. For the 16th, we have Dick Young from England. He also plays football for England. Mickey Stewart. Robert Graham and Dave Richardson from South Africa. John Trimble, Rudder Woodrick. And Nolly Meadows, journalist from Australia. Barrington Brown out of Guyana, West Indies. Ashanti Gurasinghe from Sri Lanka. Calvin Hamilton from Scotland. Carlinhos Henry from Canada. Susie Bates from New Zealand. And Pramila Bhatt, B-H-A-T-T, a female out of India. And finally, for the 17th, we have the birthday of the first African-American woman in space. Her name is Mae Jemison. Mae Jemison, first African-American woman in space. She was born back in 1956. So happy birthday to you, Ms. Jem. For India, we have Jayada Sharma, female cricketer, VRP Singh, also from India, Ravishindran Ashwin, yeah, and Sandeep Taija, all from India. From New Zealand, Leslie Watt, James Nizam, Ernest Rock, Sir Donald Curry, and Frank Nicholson, all from South Africa. Kenny Burns from Australia, Peter Lever from England, and Tremaine Smart from out of Guyana. That's what I have for you, Leon. Back to you for the time being.
Yes, indeed. Let's hear from Virgil. Virgil, come on in. Why are you so quiet? Virgil, are you with us?
He's probably quiet because he's muted.
He
He's still on there. He's still there. I think he's muted, but he's not paying attention. Let's hear from Donna, because I suspect she might have some.
No, he's not muted. Well, bring in Donna.
He's still on the board. Donna, any birthday wishes, greetings?
Well, only my daddy's birthday on the 15th I have this week. And Artie mentioned it already. My dad, he'll be making 94.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yes. All right.
Yes, 94 years young.
94 years.
Yes,
well,
yes. Big congratulations to Daddy. Big congratulations.
Yes, and then on the 16th, we have our National Heroes Day in St. Kitts Nevis. So that's also a holiday in my hometown, St. Kitts and Nevis. And followed on the 19th, we're going to be celebrating how much it is now. I think 39 years of independence on the 19th.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. No. Yeah, we have the next week.
Yeah, so that's for next week, on the 19th.
Yeah.
All right. Thank
yes.
You.
Mm. Okay.
Is Virgil awake yet?
Virgil, are you with us? Oh, no. No, he's not.
Yes, I'm here.
You're there. Sleeping on us, are you?
No, honestly, I was actually sleeping.
Oh,
Oh, well, I guessed right.
You did, Leon.
You did
the prize. Yes. So,
welcome to the club. Any birthday from you, Virgil?
Yes, No, no, but I just want to say good evening, good afternoon, good night to the listeners, and good afternoon and evening and everything to the panelists. No birthday for me.
Right.
None? Okay.
I remind me of one, but I'm not too sure.
Daddy Brown will be celebrating, Donna's dad will be celebrating on the 15th, so you can give a shout out to Danny Brown.
Oddly, I know
he fell asleep already. He fell asleep already.
Again, you mean he fell asleep again? But of course, the one thing we may have not mentioned this time around, oddly, is that we know it was last Thursday, but close enough for us to still remind Leon that he had a birthday on Thursday and wish him once again
an entire month. Sorry, yes, you're right.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, well.
Happy birthday again, Mr. Francis.
I told you. My goodness, I really had a ball this year. You know, it's the first year without my wife for a long, long time. Folks, you know that. But my daughter treated me with red carpet treatment, man. I went to Wakulla Springs. My friends, whenever anyone of you visit me, I'll have to take you guys to the Wakulla Springs. It's the largest spring of fresh water in the USA, and I'm telling you see every form of reptiles. You see crocodile, alligator, snake, turtle, fish, and all quality of fish. And it's just what nature. They said Indian room that springs in years gone by, and it's a treat to see how many people from all over the world really, really take opportunity to visit that. I've been there before, but this time I enjoy it more, because after which we just had dinner down there, and it was a wonderful, wonderful treat for me. And I really and truly just appreciate my two daughters, Leslie and Josette, and I wish my son were here and their mothers well. And we just want to thank all the wonderful people from around the world, because Fiol Sang and Zina May Sang, my niece, and my sister-in-law, they sang for me. I didn't know these folks. At least I know Zina and Fiol could sing, but I didn't know my sister-in-law could sing. So what I tell her, she must not change her day job. Continue. I was really happy. I'm telling you guys, I really had a wonderful time.
All right.
And to top it off, above all, somebody sent me money on the internet. Could you believe? I didn't know that I deserve it. But anyway, thank you all for the wonderful wishes I got from even Jay Tin here. Put aside his coaching and text me more than once. So thank you all for your wonderful, make me happy, and I was really, really feeling proud.
Hold on, one minute. You said somebody sent you money online?
Yeah, but I couldn't get it off.
So, but it's still hanging up in the back, man?
Yeah.
They hung it up too high.
Yeah. Oh, so that's why I can't reach it.
But anyway, that's just a joke. But yeah, somebody did send me a little cash, a gift certificate, and I'm just happy that they remembered me, you know. Not that I really wanted anything at this point, but you know, the fact and the thought that
that's
they remember to put a little X in me, and I use it to the best of my capacity. On a sadder note, my cousin over in Canada, she called me on my birthday, but she said she couldn't tell me about her brother. And to top it off, she called me a couple of days after, and did say, my cousin Merrill James. He's gravely ill. He's suffering with prostate cancer. And, of course, we just want you guys to keep in our prayers and thoughts. And he was aloof, keeping away from everybody. But when he came down to the nitty-gritty, he had to call someone. And they called her. And she had to go one part of Canada to the next to make sure they look after him. So he's right now in a very, very, very bad state in the hospital over there in Canada. So your prayers and thoughts are asked for him. I just know miracles do happen, and we just pray that he called him Snooky, whom that he you know, I remember him well because when I had difficulty teaching my wife how to drive the stick car, he was the one who helped me to help her to understand how to maneuver the stick drive. Mm-hmm. So I remember him for that. So those are my thoughts.
I just want to confirm that you were very busy on that day. Yep. I called him and before I could get through, you know, wishing him the happy birthday and all the best and whatever, and calls are coming in and he just had to slip away and, you know, I mean, he was very busy on that day and I love that, you know, especially being the first year that you're celebrating birthday without your wife in 50 odd years. It's not easy, but you know, we all try to make it as pleasant as we could for you. All right? Yes.
Thank you so much.
I was saying Mr. Jason did not put away his coat. He just coached you over a birthday greeting.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. So who's next? Virgil, you didn't have a birthday. How come? You know, you got to have a birthday in September. I tell you, you know, when I look around and see so many people have birthdays. Even the Queen died on my birthday. Could you imagine?
Yes.
She chose the right day, man. She chose the right day to die. And, of course, you mentioned I have a brother who would have had his birthday on the 19th, the same day as the St. Kitts and Nevis independence. And he would have been, you know, how old he would have been, 1939, so he would have been up there. Well, may he rest in peace.
And the Queen also died on the anniversary of the day that Jamaica stopped using pounds, shilling, and pence, and we convert to dollars and cents. That was back in 1969. You know, we convert from pounds, shilling, and pence. Now we're going to dollars and cents.
All right. Oddly, I have one birth anniversary coming up, not for me personally, but my son Dennis Jr. and his wife Heather.
All right.
They will celebrate their 21st wedding anniversary on the 15th. And this is more meaningful for us because they got married 3 or 4 days after the famous terrorist attack that you mentioned earlier on at the top of the hour. So this is something that we will never forget, obviously, because of the, you know, the closeness of the event to their wedding day. But that's
so
my
son,
offering. My
son
Dennis Jr.
Dennis Jr.?
Yes.
Dennis
and
Jr.
His wife.
Okay.
And his wife, Heather.
Okay.
Okay. And just to add something to this, on the very day that we had 9/11, and the day my brother died, I was at the exact spot when I heard about both occasions. I was going to Homestead at a Burger King, and I was there getting a coffee. And I just looked on my phone and saw the news about the bombing of the Trade Center. And of course, the same identical place I was when my sister-in-law called me and tell me about my brother's death. So that I had a good remembrance of that.
So I spoke. Thank you. So
yes, we do have a song that some folks had. I think it was Murchis and Dennis said they like it. So I'm just
I have one birthday. Come, my bishop's wife, Sister Esmond Beeson. She will be celebrating on the 15th also, and my children's, let's say my former sister-in-law, my children's aunt, Valerie Campbell, she is in Jamaica, and both of them will be celebrating on the 15th of this month as well. So happy birthday to both of you. Of course, when the day comes, I'll give them a personal call. Back to you, Leon, with the music.
All right. Okay. Can I say something with the music?
Sure, sir.
Go right ahead.
Okay. I was telling you guys, I think Wednesday coming, I'm doing a knee surgery, right? But listen to this. It's because of my knee surgery, because I went to get a clearance, which you have to do blood work and you have to do an EKG. And mm-hmm. to my surprise, which I never know I have a problem with my heart, I never know I have a problem, they found mm-hmm. some kind of issue. So now I have to monitor, like I have to go every year and do, what do you call it, an echo, which I saw my heart beating. And it's just amazing to see how your heart beat and look at your heart. Mm. So I'm just saying, sometimes things going on inside of you, don't know. Because if it wasn't exactly. for my surgery for my knee, exactly. I would not know that I had. So I'm so glad that at least I can have it checked out every so often and monitor it and see exactly what's going on.
All right. No running marathon now, Virgil.
Oh, no, no, no. All that is over. Yeah, all that is over.
Prayers are with you. Yes, indeed.
Run in between the wickets will be all right.
Yes. you can run the sharp single.
All right.
Okay.
Cue the music.
Brother,
Michael Jackson, as we celebrate the birthday and anniversary hour, and there's one big birthday we're missing, one big anniversary we're missing out on. Mr. Ivor Henry and his wife, they are celebrating 1 week and 2 days of marriage. Wow!
Happy anniversary to you guys.
And they were living it up, yeah, all Disney and everything.
Yeah,
you know,
man.
I mean, come on, Mr.
Okay.
and Mrs. Henry, happy anniversary. 1 week and 2 days. All right.
Amen.
So this
Amen.
Has been
Amen.
The Right. So this has been the Walter Henry Birthday and Anniversary Hour. Join us next week when we're going to be doing it all over again, God willing, 6:30
mm-hmm.
in the evening. Once again,
okay.
The Walter Henry Birthday and Anniversary Hour. Back to you, Leo.
Yes, indeed. Thank you so much, Audley. Wonderful. And all the participants. Virgil. You were missing when we talked about the Asian Cup. Are you unhappy that Pakistan didn't win?
Mm-hmm. If I'm happy that Pakistan... Who win the Asian
no,
Cup?
okay. I said, unhappy
well,
that Pakistan came second.
Let me lay the groundwork for Virgil, Leon.
Yeah.
This
yes.
was a memorable Asia Cup tournament, Virgil, one that will not be forgotten in a hurry. It was fitting that a crowd of 24,000 were on hand to witness this spectacle. Sri Lanka, the official host of the tournament, due to the economic and possible political infighting, moved the tournament from Sri Lanka to the UAE. Sri Lanka fought hard. Pakistan, out of the gate, were on top with Sri Lanka at 112-7 in the 17th over. However, Rajapaksa, 71, Asaranga, 36, Dhananjaya, 28, fought back to give Sri Lanka a final tally of 170-6. This did not seem like a troubling score for Pakistan. However, Pakistan in turn lost two quick wickets for 22 runs, before Rizwan and Iftikhar steadied the ship and Pakistan looked to be on their way. However, the trio of Madhushan 4-34, Asaranga 3-27, Karunaratne 2-33 knocked the complacent Pakistan middle order to a humbling 147-10. Sri Lanka are the 2022 Asian Cup champions, Virgil, in part due to a tremendous team performance. Well done, Sri Lanka. There you have it, Virgil.
Well, congratulations to Sri Lanka. At least, as I said, who turned up that way will win that game. And the Sri Lankans really turned up that way that day. So you have to give them credit for winning the Asia Cup. And, I mean, right now, Sri Lanka team is a very good team because, as I say, it's a team sport. And if everybody can chip in, you will have
they
a good
did.
Score, you know,
yeah,
it, especially with the bowlers too, you know, so it's good for Sri Lanka.
Yep.
And yes, India didn't come out of
the top
gate four.
At all.
No, they didn't win.
That's what happens sometimes when you have one of big teams and nobody shines.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't
right.
make the final for Leon, but they didn't make the finals.
No, I said they did not come out of the top four. They were in the four, but they couldn't. Yeah, wait. They didn't. They couldn't go any further. They didn't win a match.
No.
Right?
They were stuck in the mud.
They won the. They won the last.
Without the four-wheel drive.
They won, but then the cup was already gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they couldn't qualify.
All right.
Yeah. So that's
we
it
have,
for,
we have,
for that.
We have some housekeeping releases that we perhaps should share with our listeners?
Why don't you share them with us?
So from the ICC, they've announced the warm-up fixtures for the Men's T20 World Cup 2022. First round warm-up to take place from October the 10th to the 13th, with Super 12 teams to play on October 17th to 19th. The first warm-up fixture will feature West Indies against UAE on the 10th of October, and each first-round team to play two warm-up matches. Warm-up fixtures will not be open to the spectators. However, four warm-up matches on the 17th and the 19th October will be broadcasted live. So official World Cup play begins October 16th with Sri Lanka versus Namibia. And continuing with other official ICC release, Men's Player of the Month nominees for August: Sikander Raza from Zimbabwe. He scored 135, 117, and 115 in matches against Bangladesh and India, were instrumental in his team's series victory against Bangladesh. Additionally, he claimed 7 wickets, thus cementing his claim as an all-rounder. Mitchell Santner, New Zealand, was also a nominee, scored 77 not out in Netherlands series, took 7 wickets at an average of 17 in T20 versus the West Indies, and 4 wickets in ODI average of 21. And the third male nominee was Ben Stokes of England, scored 143 runs and took 7 wickets during the month to help his team level the series of test matches versus South Africa. Now, something which is of interest to note is that Independent Voting Academy usually vote for these players of the month who are nominated, but the ICC have changed the rules. So fans around the world are now eligible to vote to decide the winners. However, the one caveat is that fans must register with the ICC in order to claim their privilege of voting. And I have the Women's Player of the Month nominees. First, we have Talia McGrath from Australia. Scored 114 runs in August, 78 not out, 3 wickets, and a registered run out, and reached a career-high 12 ranking in the MRF Tires ICC Women's T20 Players Ranking. Beth Mooney from Australia also scored 167 runs in 3 T20s and a match-winning 62 against India in the final of the Commonwealth game. And the third female nominee is Jemima Rodriguez from India. Scores of 44 not out in the Commonwealth Games semi-final match against England and 32 in the final to help India's success in the games. So the takeaway in these nominees is that fans wishing to vote for these nominees must first register with the ICC, and they will then be eligible to vote for the nominee. I think this is something that is new.
Question, how do you go about registering with ICC?
I think you need to contact the ICC, I guess, the Media Relations Department.
We probably can just attach Audley's name, and then he probably will be getting his email.
Well,
every week, I guess. So
I would love that.
Okay,
I will check with Jatin and make sure that he gets you organized. Yes.
Okay.
Just to add something to what you said there, because the folks might be wondering why is it that West Indies has to qualify? And I have the groups, but West Indies has not made the top, right? And 4 more places have to be decided. They have those teams that have qualified to be in the groups, and 2 of which will be coming from each group. In Group A, you have Namibia, the Netherlands, Sri Lanka, and the United Arab Emirates. So Sri Lanka has a leg up there by winning the Asian Cup. They are a team to beat. In the other Group B, you have Ireland, Scotland, West Indies, and Zimbabwe. Doesn't look like West Indies will have much problem, but, you know, you never know. You can't overlook these teams. So Ireland, Scotland, West Indies, and Zimbabwe. So remember, Ireland beat us, right? Did they not beat us in the Caribbean?
Why
don't you? We can't overlook them. So we'll see what will be the outcome. Now, my question to the panel, would you pick those superstars who, like Narine and Russell, to help us qualify?
Absolutely not. Is my
who
answer
said
to
yes
that?
And who said, who did not agree that we should include them? Nobody
no.
answered?
I absolutely go ahead.
It's hard. I remember the coach or one or the was it the president? Somebody, you know, said that they want to go with the best team, but those we have been snubbed by those guys so often. Nevertheless, if we are going to the World Cup and they are available and you know they are playing cricket and they are fit. I would have to take them with me if we want to have a you know real chance. I mean we can go there
no.
with lesser name players and still turn out good, but guys that we know has the power, firepower and stuff like that. I'm like 50-50. Sometimes I say hey, just don't forget about them and next time say look if we want to have a real chance going in those matches. And as long as they are fit, because they have been playing cricket all about the place, maybe. Why not pick them?
But oddly question though, they have not set the IPL, the CPL on fire, have they?
Well, if they're fit and they're in form, that's it. It's not an automatic walking. You just walk into the team. We know you have reputation, yes. But you have to show that you have some form going. You know, and you are fit, of course. So it's not a walk-in. It's not just a walk-in.
That's what I'm saying, too.
From my perspective, Leon, these players simply have not shown the necessary form to be included in the West Indies squad. And I think it is high time we sweep superstars out the door and give the opportunities to the youngsters who are coming and who are showing promises, such as Reefer. Reefer has been tearing up the fields in the CPL.
Mm-hmm.
And there are others like
Ravman Powell.
Who deserve to be there. Ravman Powell is another one, as you pointed out, Audley. And so from my perspective, all the has-been players who, yes, they were good in their day has passed. And it's time for us to get about them. In fact, I would go so far as to say even Jason Holder should be given his marching orders and bring in some of the youth player. That's my perspective on that, Leon.
Oh goodness! What say Virgil?
Yeah, no, I'm hearing that's a topic I probably wouldn't fall asleep from. We have local tournaments. These guys don't participate in our local tournament. None of our local tournament these guys participate in. So if you're not playing home with us, yeah, you go out and make your money. Nobody stop you from making money. But if you're not participating in none of these tournaments that we have in, don't wait until World Cup and then all of a sudden you're available because you know what happened in World Cup? Nobody has played no tournament. So that's the time you want to show us you want to play for us. No, because what happened? If I have a son and my son trying his heart out and want to play for West Indies, doing everything, and then all of a sudden now qualifying, he helped us qualify, and all of a sudden you just walk in, oh, World Cup, I'm the champ, I'm the big star, I'm just going to walk in and take his place? No way. I believe maybe that's why some of these, we don't even get some of these crowd back in the Caribbean from this cricket because it's what these players done to the spectators. They don't really care about us. So why should we want to put them in now just because we want to walk with the strongest team? After the World Cup, now we're going somewhere to play. We need the strongest team, and all of a sudden, these guys leave us and gone until another champion game come around again. No. I will go with what we have. We have a lot of good guys that are working hard and want to play. Those are the guys. Let the superstar go and play whatever they want to go and play.
Yep. I agree there, Virgil.
Strongest team on paper.
Okay. Can I ask a question, Leon?
Sure.
Go, why not?
Okay, so those guys are coming back, and let's say there are still some matches remaining to be played in the CPL,
yes.
And they really come on in the last part, right, and really show that they are on fire, and that's one, because in order for them to be selected for the time, they have to be producing, and number two. Are there enough of the other players who are doing so good? It would be a fight for any of those other guys to get into the team, because that's what we need to look at too, right? We want to give the best chance to all those guys who have been playing, who have been representing us, you know, playing in the Caribbean, you know, where everybody can see good cricket. But are there enough of them that are shining so much that they'll be able to keep those other guys out of the team? I just showed that question.
Answer, in my opinion, yes, there are many of these youngsters, you know, the Romario Shepherds and the Brandon Kings and the Rodman Powells, who should make the team ahead of all of those,
They were considered like King and Rodman Powell. I think those guys are considered part of the team already because, you know, they have been doing well. You know, Akil Hussain and you know, guys like McCoy and stuff like that, you know. But then we still would like to have an extra spinner and such like. So, Would you look at Narayan if he's producing, you know, maybe not a whole lot with the bat, but, you know, as a type of spinner we know he has been in the past. Is he the same type of spinner? Let's look at his record where he's playing. And even sometime when you're not taking a whole lot of wickets, look at the economy rate, you know, how expensive it turned out to be. So I'm just saying, are there enough of those other players? They are doing so well that they'll be able to keep those guys out of the team.
I think so.
I don't. But let me just do this for the sake of the listeners and us, because we want to know how these guys are doing. I give you the top players in the top 15 players in batting and bowling. We go with batting first. The most runs are scored by Brandon King, 89 runs. Johnson Charles, 87 runs. Corbin Bosson, 81 runs. Adrian Andre Fletcher, 81 runs. Kyle Mayers, 73 runs. Rodman Powell, 67 runs.
Johnson I don't
Charles,
think that list is up to date, Leon.
No,
No, that's not up to date. 50-yard, 30-yard, 40, you know, in every whole lot of matches. No, that's not an updated list.
Perhaps not. Okay. Let me see if the bowling is up to date then. Because I have most wickets by Mohammed Amir. He has 10 wickets. Followed by Azhari Joseph, 10 wickets. Is that sound right?
Yeah, that's
right?
Not updated either. Azhari went to him. Go ahead.
No. Azhari and him were tied, you know.
Yeah, they still are.
Yeah, up to today or something like that.
Tied.
Like 12 wickets. About 12 wickets or something like that, yeah.
But yet, but nevertheless, but I'm saying this to say that most of these guys are not even in the top 15. You see, so most of these guys are not in the 15, but, you know, never know. Cool. For in my list, I have Azhari Joseph, number two. Obed McCoy, number three. Jason Holden, number 5. Kyle Mays, number 7. Sunil Narine, 10. And Javard Royal and Dwayne Bravo. Well, Dwayne Bravo is out of the running. He has 4.
Yeah, he's out of it, yeah.
And Odin Smith and Nicholson Gordon. But they're not lighting the world, the CPL on fire. But it's somewhat early, you know. He doesn't come down to the crunch time when it comes to the later stages of the match, of the tournament.
Right,
probably
right.
It'll be showing their colors. Let's turn your attention, if nobody has anything to say, to the England versus...
Just one correction there, Leon. Brandon King, he scored 89 in the first match for the Talawas against St. Kitts Nevis. Mm-hmm. And he also
scored... just one inning.
And he scored 32. He scored 32 in the Jamaica against Guyana Amazon Warriors in the match number 4. So I know that the stats you have there is obviously
not up to date.
Right. But now your second question...
Mm-hmm. No. I was going to go to something else. If nobody else has anything to say, but we conclude. Some say that they would not include them, and some say they would include them. But this is a tournament that will determine whether or not they make it or break it. So we'll wait and see what the selectors do. And of course, we have to look and see if they want to play for us too.
Well, I wouldn't give them that luxury.
but most of them would no. But would they want to go and help us qualify? If they want to help us qualify, I have no problem with it. But if they don't want to help us qualify and we qualify, and they want to come into the final squad, I would say no. That's my.
I agree with you, Leon.
That's what happened the last time, you know. Narine didn't want to go, and then after we qualify, all of a sudden he was available, you know, and that's what these guys do.
Virgil, I would have to agree 100% with you. If they don't want to go to help us qualify, they automatically disqualify themselves from selection. Because in order to get there, we have to qualify first. And if they can't be a part of the qualifying team,
If you offer them now, they're going to want to go because he will have no other cricket playing in the world. So all eyes is on the World Cup. And this is what really get me angry with these guys, because you're playing for your country. You want to represent. If he was going to Australia, none of them would want to go. If he was going to England to play, none of them would want to go. It's because of the World Cup. And that's what it is. And that is what I have a problem with. You want to pick and choose when you play. If you're playing for us, you're playing in this tournament, you only can play one day or 50 over, the 50 over or test or T20. If we call on you, you're supposed to be there and ready to go, not when you choose to. And that's the problem we're having, because then these guys have us tied up now, because we just said when we want, and they just... Most likely have to pick us because, you know, we're a top dog. And that is why you don't want nobody to control you like that.
But as I said, Virgil, I agree with you. If they are asked, I'm not going to say no. If you ask them, they won't go. I want it to actually happen because we're talking about the upcoming World Cup. So, therefore, we have to go qualify. So if they are contacted and they indicated that they are not interested in helping the West Indies qualify, then that's where I put an X in the name. They wouldn't be considered again at all. But if they go, we need them, and they go and they help us qualify, well, by all means, they're part of the team if they do well.
Well, to repeat myself, views, absolutely
one big
not.
Sweep them out.
None of these guys would be included in my squad. I think we need to focus on getting the youngsters, the new players who are on the verge, who are making an... Bring those players in. Let them succeed or fail. I do not want to see any of those other who are definitely not on form anyway.
Wait, everybody forgot what we did on the last champion game or World Cup of what we played when all of them, even the same time when Ambrose said Chris Gillies had a first pick and he go out and he say all he wanted to say. No, as I was saying, you make your back do the talking, not your mouth. And then look, we have Narayan, we have all of them went over there. What did we come out? Nothing.
Nothing.
You understand?
Yep,
so we got to start Narayan down there with these guys, man.
Narayan did not go.
I don't know if you...
Yeah. No. Narayan did not go.
No, I think he, because of his bowling action, he didn't go.
Russell went, but he broke down because, he was playing chin music.
Oddly, Russell was not fit from the onset. You know that.
He was not. And then he just showed up because he broke down halfway through the game. And it caused problems.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, Russell. Yeah, indeed.
But
can we focus on
one minute here. When you say Russell was not picked, something was wrong with him, right?
No, he went.
I know.
But you said, but I say he was not picked. He looked like he was struggling on the field and like he had some kind of issue with his leg or something.
He had some injuries before he was selected, right?
Okay.
And, pending to fitness. And then he... Let me finish.
Okay, sorry.
And then he was past fit. He was past fit to go to the World Cup. Somehow, he was past fit. But then, I think in the very first match, he started bowling 90 miles an hour, throwing down chin music and all that. And then he started hobble around. Next thing, we have no rugby. That is what happened.
Well, see, that's what I call, when I talk about fitness now, that's what I call if you're not fit, because if something is wrong with you. But when you have your own body, and that's the way your body always been all the time, and then they get up and say, because you can't sprint this fast, you're not fit to play. Fitness comes from if you're sick or something wrong with you. If I have pulling up my hamstring or something like that, that means I'm not fit. But if I'm just normal, I'm going out there, do my normal stuff, don't tell me I'm not fit because of my size or whatever it is. So that's what I call not fitness, because of that. But for these, our West Indies selectors, they call fitness a different thing. I don't understand their fitness when it comes to the players.
Leon, I have a question.
Anyhow, let me give you an update on the score. It's 79 runs. St. Lucia Kings batting 8 over, 80 runs against St. Kitts Patriots.
79 runs.
Without loss.
Yes.
How many overs? How many overs?
8.
After 8
runs over, 8.
Good going. But I have a question.
Johnson Charles is in the runs again?
Yeah, he's in 36 right now. And the captain is at 41.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is related. You mentioned the name Johnson Charles, and that was that is my question. Is Charles a West Indian or is he
an import? He played for West Indies Test cricket and ODI.
He played Test, yeah.
Okay.
He played Test and ODI and one day.
I just didn't
recognize. But he was one of those players who like Gale and who like Russell. Have been getting picks in the minor leagues or these domestic leagues around the world.
All right.
Himself and Fletcher.
All right.
Fletcher were two.
And
listen to this. Even though he scored a lot of runs, maybe he might score the most runs, and I still probably would not even want to pick him. So don't tell me they're picking them from this, because he's Johnson Charles is doing good. As far as I know,
most of the games he
scored a lot of runs.
Yeah,
so we're going to see what happens now. Yeah,
he's definitely in contention, Virgil. I've been following Johnson Charles. Yeah, he's scoring. Yeah, he's scoring a lot of runs.
But gentlemen, the two openers have already been picked in.
Kyle Mayers
and Brandon King. That's my pick.
I
wouldn't pick.
You need a third opener. You need a third opener.
Is Evan Lewis fit? Or Evan Lewis making run?
Was he? I don't think he's been playing, has he?
I don't think he's even playing.
Yeah, he's playing. No, he was out for his game. He was out for one or two games.
Oh, okay. Evan Lewis, he played in... Is he the Jamaican player?
He's the captain of the Patriots.
Okay.
Yeah,
Evan
he played
Lewis is
two games.
That's correct. Thank you, Doug.
And the next two games he was out.
Yes, he's playing right now. I'm watching the game right now. They're playing the Kings.
Okay. All right. Why don't you give us the updates and break in when you can. And
yes,
St.
Lucia Kings, 82 without loss. Some 8.3 overs.
Thank
okay,
you, Donna.
8.3 overs, man. This is 170 something runs.
Yes.
Minimum.
Patriots getting some blows right now.
Nicely put.
I don't know.
Okay.
And it looks like he wants Spice Man to go over there. Yeah, it looks like he blames Spice Man. Okay.
Spice Man is playing for the Patriots. Yeah. Okay. Where we were. Are we complete with that? Can we touch the England versus South Africa match? And it's the third test match. And as at the moment, South Africa made 118 and 169.
But England just lost the first wicket. Sorry. Just lost the first wicket. Johnson Charles is out. So 86-1, yeah.
86-1, all right.
Still good score.
Yeah.
So England are playing 158 and 97 without loss. They need another
33
runs to win the tournament. And some folks are questioning a test match.
Play
seem to be finishing in 3 days.
Yeah.
And the scores are so positive.
Yep. Well, I don't think...
Give us your take.
I honestly don't believe that this match should be given any consideration whatsoever. Given the circumstances, rained out on day one, the Queen's death on day two, and we were told that no play would occur in the test match. Presumably it would have been abandoned. And then suddenly on day three, they turn around and go, I can see that the players are not there mentally, and this is a test match that should not have been completed or even played. I do not give any credence to this particular test match, regardless of who wins it or why, because no test match can be played in 2 days and be completed with these type of scores, because that goes against the grain in terms of you getting in there and setting getting your head down and scoring big runs in order to... No, this is a farce as far as I'm concerned, and I will absolutely disregard anything on this third test match. Yeah.
Can I come in here?
Don't go.
Sure.
Let me just take care of this, because, Dennis, you got to consider one thing. If you look on the stands, you see how the stands were full?
No, I didn't see that.
These people prepared for their tickets, and they determined... They have paid. These people have used some of their money to help to cover the cost of certain items, and they have to make sure that cricket is played. And if they're satisfied, who are we to complain, the Dennis?
I'm going to butt in quick. When you watch a game, right, and the wicket is dead, why don't we say like, it's so boring?
The pitch is dead.
No wicket, no whatever. Now we watch a game and maybe ball swinging and ball moving and we're getting wicked and we're getting people complaining, say, oh, he's done in 2 days' time. But this, cricket did not say it must go to 5 days, because you might have a pitch that you play on, it goes to 5 days. But then if you have ball swinging, ball bouncing, having Batman doing all kind of stuff, cocking up ball up in the air, tearing off edge, that's supposed to be exciting for us. We're supposed to feel real happy, proud of the bowlers, because of the bowler, that's why the match finished in that time. Most of the time, the bowlers, they get their licks, boom, 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 everybody feel good for the match, but now the bowler doing something, nobody giving us the credit for what we're doing.
No, I
disagree. Leon did ask to say something.
Well, I just want to remind Dennis that the first two test matches also finish in 3 days. The first two test matches.
By innings.
One Australia won by an inning in three days. The second, England won by an inning in three days. And this one now, it seems that England is going to wrap it up again in 3 days. So there's no credence to be withheld from this one when we look at the in comparison with what happened in the two first test matches. Isn't that something strange? The rain washed out the first day. That was one. Because of the death of the queen, no supposed to be taken on that day, right? So everything was put aside. And then the third day, the only big difference with this and the other and the first two test matches. They're playing the three last days. The other two matches were over in the three first days. So it's six and a half dozen. No difference.
No,
I tell you something, gentlemen. A thought came to mind, oddly, that they may try to brighten up test cricket by just limited to 3 days instead of five, and maybe limited 3 or 4 days.
Leon, we are coming from back in the 1930s when test cricket started. It's only when they play in Australia they play timeless. When they play in Australia, when it's going to take 8, 10 days or whatever, because on one stage when England, the Englishmen have to abandon the game and to get a ship to go back, because they would be left marooned in Australia for months. So they eventually call it abandon the game and to catch the boat. But in England, it has always been 3 days test matches. It has always been 3 days. You would see 4 in a day, but 1 day was a rest day. So it moves from 3 to 5 days. But in Australia, when they play in Australia, 4, 5, 6, as long as it takes to get a result, that's how they play. If Australia eventually fall in a uniform, everybody play 5 day test matches. So I can see them going back to 3 days. What they might do, and they were talking about it, is raise the amount of overs from 90 overs a day to maybe 100, and then they play four days instead of 3 days. Mm-hmm. But I guess them going anything below anything like 3 days.
When I said three, it could be four. It could be four too. But
yeah,
the fact is, the test cricket is getting another competition, and they want to find some way to produce a result. They hate to have, when I say a result, a win or a loss. You know, they don't like the draws so much, but even though a draw is a result, so I feel it wouldn't be surprising if they said 4 days or increase the number of overs. So don't know what has happened, but the important thing is that I see a lot of people who paid their money by the tickets were inside the oval today. And that is important.
And Leon, I think those people were shortchanged. They did not get value for money. I think they played the game because they did not want to lose the revenue. But it was a shame.
Think about the
spectators. They were shortchanged, and I think that should leave a sour taste in their mouths. Because
Mr. Heath, listen to me. A match is scheduled
for five days. Nobody guarantees that it's going 5 days. All right? The other two test matches, the first two, they're also scheduled for 5 days, and they finish in three. So the spectators are robbed also in those two test matches. It's a possibility. You know, when you buy a ticket, it's a possibility that you're going to lose some of the days, because it all depends on how the match turns out, how the bowlers perform, how the batsmen perform, right? So when you go in there, you have to go preparing that you may go, you may be going home a day early, or a day and a half early, or maybe a day for 7 days, and I mean the 5 days, and in the end it's a nail-biting finish with an exciting draw or an exciting win. So if they get 3 days of cricket, it's not anything unusual. That's what happened all the time in Test cricket.
Oddly,
yes,
we've seen issues where Test match referees condemn pitches.
Not umpires.
Test match referees.
Match referees.
They condemn pitches where a team has scored 500 plus runs and so on, because it was not, what do they say, favorable to both, you know, batters and bowlers. And
well,
here we have test matches where England scored 158 runs in their innings, South Africa twice, 118 and 169. Under no circumstance will I be convinced that those players, what took place, were genuine. I think the death of the Queen and the reign was such that players did not have the mental wish to play this game, and they played it because of the revenue source. And I understand that, but there are times when they have to recognize.
Wait, Dennis, Virgil, the Queen, sorry. Go ahead and finish, Audley.
No. I'm just saying. Then it's convenient they left out the 97 without loss.
No.
The minds were in good frame then.
No, 97 without loss still does not cut it yet, oddly, because the game isn't finished, and they need to score 33 more runs to win. This is not.
I would like to see them win by 10 wickets.
This is not Test match cricket, oddly.
It is Test match cricket. We have seen where India, when Afghanistan made their test debut, India bowled them out twice in 1 day. The test match was over in 2 days.
That I can accept is understandable, oddly. But remember my point that the test match referees condemned pitches where 500 plus runs were scored because the wicket did not.
Can I say something first?
It's both sides batting it, and the both sides score on. So it did not favor no team. Okay, and the other thing, I don't know who. The Queen death traumatized some of these players. Maybe it could be the English players, but what happened to South African players? South African players don't have nothing to do with the death of the Queen, so that should not traumatize them. So that did not make them score a little bit of runs. But if it did that to the English batsman, what happened to the bowler? The bowler goes and perform.
No.
So they still win the game, because if the bowler was traumatized like the Batman, the bowler probably would have bowled ball all over, and then the South Africa would have make a lot more runs. The pitch have nothing to do. If the pitch probably have a lot of moisture inside there, and we know one time we playing home, I remember this team Mike's school team, which are here. Richardson talk about the fastest bowler he ever meet, this guy named Gutnani, make that team declare for 3 runs. Because the pitch have a lot of moisture inside there. It was wet, it was moist,
he have a lot of moisture inside there. 3-1 these guys declare for. So if you have an opportunity to play on a pitch and the pitch is giving assistance to the bowler, good for the bowler. Because when he's giving assistance to the batman, you go out there and make 500 runs. You go out there and make 400 runs. We get a draw. Now we're getting something from the bowler. We complain, maybe the pitch is not good. No, the pitch is good. The pitch was favoring the bowler. And the bowler use it. And the English condition, we know you get a lot of balls to swing there because
swing,
you play,
right.
If you go up an Antigua wicket right now, you cannot get a game done in 3 days' time. It would not happen. Most of the time, it's a draw.
In paradise.
You understand? Most of the time, it's a draw. So now you get one that gives you swinging. Man, you're supposed to have it. I'm a bowler, so I'm going to defend bowling.
You
and
are
the
still...
The bowler and them work. You didn't watch the game, Dennis?
No, no. I'm not talking about watch. I'm saying
no,
you're
but you
still...
see, probably you need to watch the game to see what the ball was doing and whatever was happening because
Virgil,
you do not get out by the straight-powered bowling.
Virgil, I'm saying to you that test match cricket referee from ICC have condemned pitches where 500-plus runs were scored. And they condemn the pitches because they say it was not favorable to batter and bowlers.
But
this
but
okay.
But,
understand
but
that.
Dennis,
wicket.
Yeah, we
Virgil,
understand
this
saying,
wicket
though,
yesterday was not favorable to either batter or
the
bowler.
Pitch,
in
the
which
pitch,
case,
the pitch,
the
pitch
should
the pitch
be
was
condemned.
Passed. The pitch was passed as no ball would have been bowled on that pitch.
No,
pitch
you,
was,
no, no,
was
no. For you to say that, you don't have to. You know when you have cracks, like the one in Jamaica the time ago when you have big cracks in there, when the ball drop here,
mm-hmm,
the ball swinging
mm-hmm
this way, the ball drop there,
yeah.
Nothing was wrong with the wicket. Nothing was wrong with
the pitch.
Pitch
then, the pitch, Virgil.
Nothing was
pitch
wrong with the pitch. He just have a lot of
yeah.
He have a lot of moisture inside there, and ball was doing things what they're accustomed to do in the English condition. Ball swing a lot. Look at sometimes Jimmy Anderson will swing ball. The wicket keeper have to go sometimes and most of the second slip to collect ball sometimes.
That was a leg.
You can't
ever
say that was bad. You
know,
Virgil, so if you get the opportunity.
Virgil, you're missing my point. Audley, my question for you
is,
am
I get
wrong?
What you're saying. To that, you know what I'll say, Dennis? Mm-hmm. Let's wait and see if any match referee or any ICC people are going to large complain about the pitch.
Okay.
That's all I can say.
But
I would say it would be reasonable.
Fair enough.
Wouldn't they have come forward already?
No, they won't do it
until the match is over, Liam.
Until the match is over.
No, because the match in Antigua, they did not wait until the match is over. They finally found some sandbanks, some holes in the run-up.
Well, that might have been...
Had a lot of sand, and they stopped the match in Antigua. We had to...
Because it possibly was a danger to somebody.
It was a danger to the bowler, the run-up era, right?
Yeah.
It was a danger to somebody. This is why they would have interfered at that point.
If they saw that, they would have stopped the match too.
No, no. In this case...
Schedule.
In this case, it will not... They won't say anything until the match is over, but we'll wait to see how consistent the ICC is in terms of how they interpret.
But Dennis, you live in England.
You need to watch that game over, Dennis. You need to watch that game for yourself.
I'm not disputing that.
You can watch it and see if you think that the pitch is really bad as what you said. Just watch. All I tell you to do, watch the game. No matter what. Don't look at the score. Watch the game.
No.
Because when a pitch is bad, you see the ball doing different things. The ball doing, one time the ball will come up high, the same place the pitch, it drop down low like what we call a shooter. Then you can say something was wrong. But all you got to do, watch the game, and then you can pick out for yourself and say, when it was playing real bad because ball was going, drop at the same area, it was bouncing high, and then the next ball the guy bop, the same area, and it went down the leg side, it dropped and it come down very low. And then you can say something was wrong with the pitch. But if you watch that game, you'll never say nothing is wrong with the pitch. Congratulations to the bowler then for what they did.
I take your point, and I still maintain my argument that the ICC match referees have condemned pitches where more than 500 runs have scored.
Mm-hmm.
And both teams had to bat and bowl on the same. They've condemned them.
Can I ask a question? When Lara scored at, in Antigua, the 300 and something, how much runs was scored in that game?
Nobody condemned the pitch.
There was over 500 runs or something scoring that game.
Nobody would have condemned the pitch and said... Virgil, Dennis is not saying every such match that to score how much.
But he's just giving instant where it happened already
and the ICC or the match referee, not complaining or something like that. So it's not going to happen.
Can we wait and see if the referee will do that? That's what I said.
Let's wait and see. Let's wait and see. We have time. Right.
Okay.
Let's wait and see. Latest in the match, 101 for three. 101 for three,
for three
now after 11 overs and four balls. 101 for three. Cool. Charles out for 41 and the fleetest, he's still batting on 49 from 29. Mm. So the Quayla wicketkeeper from Sri Lanka, he just entered. He hasn't received a ball as yet. So it's 101 for three after 11 overs and four balls. That's it.
Yeah,
right. Thank you. All right, let's move on.
Agree with that, Dana? You agree with that? Let's quote that report from our.
Oh, I kicked the ball one hand.
Virgil, we can't see. You got to tell.
this guy, he just drop a cable, but he's diving. But I can. The only way you could have catched the ball properly is dive with the one hand. Certain times you cannot go two hands because you cannot get your the ball.
Too many here.
All right.
That was a drop catch.
Point.
Anyway,
point.
We have Simon waiting. He's not waiting in vain. Simon, come on in. You have
a very good evening
Marcus
to you.
On.
Good evening to you, Mr. President. And I'll also say good evening to Leon, Dennis, Cardinal, Audley, good evening to you. Virgil, good evening to you.
Sir.
Mr. Patel, if you're with us, Jetnow. Miss Ivor Henry, if you're with us still. Are you on your honeymoon?
Miss Murchison and Dana.
Murchison and Dana, good evening to you also. Mr. McKenzie, good evening, if you're with us. And I heard I was on the phone there listening, and I heard Virgil, and was making a few arguments there about the pitch. I don't know what pitch he was talking about. Somebody bring me into the picture.
Well,
yes, okay. Well, why don't you give us your thoughts first and we'll bring you up to date.
Okay.
Because Phil wants to know, Phil wants to know and he's probably listening.
Okay. Okay, so I'll give you my question for the night. Question for the night, panelists. How many test runs has Yunus Khan scored in his test career? I'm going to repeat it. How many test runs Yunus Khan scored in his career? And tell me which country he played for.
I think you asked us that is 1,099 from and he's from Pakistan. You asked us that recently.
Okay. And let's go to the panel and hear what the panel is
saying. Ask us another.
Okay.
You just call Yunus Khan the only Pakistan to score over 10,000 runs, 10,099, and he's Pakistani. I think just a couple of weeks after you asked that one. So.
Mm-hmm.
I know you played for Pakistan.
Yes.
Yes.
Give us another one.
Okay. I'll get you another question there then, since you knew that answer so well. Okay. Alrighty. What was the highest run scored by Graham Gooch? And which country he played for?
333, and it's England.
And against which country? That's the third part of the question. He scored 333 against which country?
Yes.
I say South Africa.
Sri Lanka.
I say South Africa.
Okay, well, let's go to the panel. Let's ask Virgil. Virgil usually knows all the answers.
Virgil is watching cricket.
No, he's watching cricket.
He's watching the cricket. Okay.
Yes.
I'll guess it on Australia. Just a guess.
Okay. Okay. And the two ladies on there, would they want to give a try? Give me an answer. Tell me which country he scored 333 against.
Donna,
give me an answer.
Cricket. He's watching cricket too.
They're watching cricket.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jetna
would know this.
Yeah.
Jetna, you would know this answer.
That's stupid, Barley. Where he get wicked with? Huh?
What's your answer, Jetna?
We hear Donna in the background.
Yes, I heard Donna talking.
America's number one furniture and mattress store.
Okay, Jetna hasn't gotten
all right, move on, Simon. Let's move on.
Okay. And which country did he score that against, Mr. McKenzie with us?
No.
Okay, I know Dennis would know this. Dennis, which score? Which country did Graham Gooch score 333 against?
I said South Africa.
Right?
Yeah.
South Africa, okay. What you say, Mr. President?
I said West Indies.
And I say West Indies, too.
West Indies,
uh-oh.
Okay. Is Mr. Patel with us?
No.
Not yet?
No.
Okay. Who else we have a panel? Virgil,
nobody.
Let's hear you.
Yeah. No, I already said Australia. I just guessed Australia.
Okay. Anyone else, Mr. President? Anybody else on the panel?
Okay. I don't know if... Okay. I was listening, I guess. I don't know if he's in a position to tell us. But anyway... Go with the answer.
Okay, I want to diverge my answer. Okay. Mm-hmm. The high score scored by Graham Gooch of England, 333, was versus India. Against India.
All right. Thank you for that.
All right.
Right.
Oh, wow.
So now we learn something new.
Okay.
Simon, quick. You know, our guy wants to know. A wicketkeeper, right? We have a scenario here. A bowler bowls the wide, okay?
Yeah.
The wicketkeeper collects the wide, and the batsman in the meantime goes off his crease. In other words, he is outside of, he can be stumped.
Yes.
The bowler catches the ball in his left hand, and he uses his right hand and break the stump. What are the, give us the scenario. What the outright result? Is the batsman out? Is the run scored? You tell us what happened.
Okay, I would say if it's a wide ball, he couldn't be out. I wouldn't give him out if it's a wide. I wouldn't give him out even if the stumps are broken. I wouldn't give him out. But if it wasn't a wide, as far as the umpire is concerned, he's run out.
All right.
One try. One try. What? No.
First.
One try. Give him three tries.
Okay.
You give him one strike. One strike.
Okay. You'll give me another try at it. Okay.
Yeah, two. We usually give you three.
You said
the
bowler
wants to know.
Yeah, the bowler wide. But was it, did the umpire signal wide? Because if the umpire didn't think it was wide.
Okay, let's put it this way. It's a limited over. Once a bowler, a ball goes down the leg side, it's considered a wide. And the batsman does not touch it, nor did it touch the leg, the bat.
The umpire signals it, it's a wide. Yeah.
Yeah.
If the umpire signals
so
wide
the
and you break the stumps, no, he's not out. It's not out. Signal wide.
Simon, a wide is not a no ball.
Well, go. Let him give his try. Go ahead. Simon, make another attempt.
One more chance for me.
Okay.
Umpire signals wide. Batsman doesn't pay at it, but he's out of his crease. I would say he'd be out. If he's out of his crease, I would say be out. Run out.
Mark you,
no.
Okay. The wicketkeeper is catching the ball in one hand and uses the other hand and breaks the stump.
Right. I would say he's run out.
Okay. Leon,
okay.
can I explain
yes.
that to Simon?
Wait. Go ahead. Who want to go first?
I will explain
Dennis,
to Simon.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
Simon.
I'm with you, Dennis.
The batsman can be out stumped with awful wide.
Yes.
However, if the person who's holding the ball in one hand and breaking the bail with the other hand, that is not out because the rules of the game says you can have the ball in your hand and you can knock the stump with your elbow or any part of your hand holding the ball. He is out. But you cannot be out if you knock the stump without your hand holding the ball. So.
Okay. That's clear enough, Dennis.
Anybody disagrees with that?
Yeah.
Audley? Audley, once, twice, three times.
I think Audley is going to pee.
No, I don't disagree with him.
Okay. Well, now we know Simon. That's why I brought it up, because it's, he's not out.
You have to have the ball in that hand. Yeah.
In the hand.
As you emphasize, Leon, the ball was in the other hand and you used the other one
hand.
To knock the bill. So that's a big difference.
So you're saying, Audley, when the wicketkeeper collects the ball, he has to break the stump with the same hand.
Yeah. Just to give you an update, 113 for 5 after 13 overs and one ball. No, Duplessis were out for 60, and Ralston Chase and Weiss, they are batting right now. So it's 119 for 5.
From 13
overs and two balls. And 13 over two balls.
Okay. That's against which team?
Question. Going back to the question. Let's finish it off so everybody understands the question. The ball has to be in the hand. And suppose the wicket were broken and the stumps, the bails fell off before that incident happened. What will happen? And he had the ball in his hand. Simon, what would happen? Because
still
Phil wants to know,
you didn't hear me. Still asking.
Yeah, I'm listening to you. I'm listening to you.
Hey, Phil wants to know. And we're teaching Phil. You know, he doesn't know the game that well. So Phil asked whether or not if the ball... the stump is broken, meaning that it's uprooted by you going forward and trampling the stumps, right? How can you effect a run out if the bails are off?
You cannot run on a broken wicket. Rules say you cannot run on a broken wicket.
What do you mean you cannot run? No. Let us talk about a broken wicket. What do you mean you cannot run on a broken wicket?
Wrong, Simon. Incorrect, Simon.
I think you're mistaking what the guys are asking.
The question.
If the bails are off. Let's say the bails are off. Let's say broken stump, the bails are off.
Yes.
Okay.
Six wicket is down, 123 for 6. The sixth wicket went down, 123 for 6. 13 over the 5 balls.
Okay.
Let's go back to the question, Simon. So what is your answer to the question? The bails are off.
Yeah.
You have the ball in the hand and you want to effect a run out if they are stumping.
I would say if the bails are already off, it can't be out. The bails have to be on you to...
Mr. Paulson, I think he's not understanding you're going to say the bails. Okay, let me put it this way. I hit the ball, and I'm running.
Right.
Somebody threw the ball, right? And the bail, I reach in my crease, and the ball hit the stump, so the bail is off. And I'm running another run because the ball gone somewhere.
Yeah.
When the guy threw the ball back into the keeper.
Yeah.
And the keeper hit the stump.
And you're out of your ground.
Hit the stump.
You're out of your ground. Yeah.
And you're out of the ground.
Yes, well, you're one out.
The ball returned to
no,
the keeper.
Because,
he collected the ball. What
he
the keeper
has to pull the stuff out
there.
Of the ground.
Well,
because the stump already broken. The base already come out. So once you catch the ball, you have to pull the stump out of the ground for you to be out.
Yeah, with the ball in your hand. But you also have the ball in your hand.
Yes.
You have to pull the stump out. Because the bales already fall off from the incident when we was running before.
Prior to, they're running, But Mr.
So
Simon,
you have to pull the bale.
I did say, Mr. Simon, you have to pull one stump up
with the ball in your same hand.
Yes.
Right.
You know, the ball don't have to be in the same hand.
The ball has to be in the same hand that you pull the stump up with.
Yes.
Yes.
That is,
Those are the rules.
To be correct, you must hold the ball in one hand against the stump, and you can uproot it with the second hand. So in other words, you hold
with
it and take it out.
Mm-hmm.
And just pull it out.
All right.
Or if you're good enough to knock the one stump out with the ball in your hand, knock it completely out of the ground, that has the same effect of giving him out.
Effect.
Once it's uprooted,
Dennis, remember, you wouldn't have all the time to do that when a man is running, coming towards you.
Well, you might.
You don't have all the time to do that.
In a flash of a duck tail, you do that.
You might. Okay. You might. You know the game and you know the issue. You can do it that way. But that's the rules of the game.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are inside the Lawrence Yakarov hours. So I'll meditate 13 minutes inside, 30 minutes
Thank
after
you.
8.
Can somebody update me with the U.S. Open?
One pulled the 4 for 6 at 14.4 over.
U.S. Open.
Virtual.
No. I'm giving him the Caribbean opening, and it's 7 down.
But you update me with the U.S. Open.
Since Virgil knows this course so well, I would imagine they're playing in Antigua.
No, I'm watching it.
They're playing in St. Kitts. I'm watching it. No, sorry, I'm playing in St. Lucia. I'm watching it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's West Indies and New Zealand?
CPL. No, CPL.
No,
Caribbean Premier League.
CPL.
Caribbean Premier League.
Caribbean,
the equivalent to the IPL in India. All right?
Yeah. Okay.
No, it's 7-0, Virgil. Virgil, it's 7.
Yeah.
124 for 7 after 14 overs and 14 and a half.
Okay.
124. Ooh. They are falling, man, to 80 yards before the first wicket, and now they are crumbling.
Yeah.
That's what I tell you about cricket. Make it such a great game. Uncertainty of the game. When you think, well, when one, I always tell you on the show, I try to explain the game to my grandkids. I said, you know, one man can make 500 runs, and sometimes 11 men can't make 100. So that's what makes it sort of a great game. Very uncertain. Any other game you can guess.
We still didn't do any justice to the England-Pakistan game because we started, but Simon came in.
Yeah, we got to go back to it. Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
England-Pakistan?
England-South Africa?
England, South Africa.
Didn't we not put that to bed?
No, we didn't because we were talking about the match whether it should the match referee and thing, but we didn't mention any score. I mean individual performances or anything like that.
Oh, the individual. Okay, we can do that. We mentioned the scores, the 168 and one. Okay, we can do that. No problem. We have the score.
All right, England made 118, and not England, South Africa 118.
South Africa. Mm-hmm.
Elga didn't. The top scorer was Zondo.
Oh,
23.
I know. I had something to say on that. Go ahead, Audley. Go ahead.
Yeah, Zondo won 23, and Marco Jensen made 30. And that was just about what you can write home about that. In the bowling department, James Anderson won for 16 in 8 overs. Only Robinson, 5 for 49 in 14 overs. Stuart Broad, 4 for 41, 12 overs and 2 balls. Jack Leash,
none for 10 in his two overs. And then, of course, the England went in. And we're hoping that they're going to put up a big score, but not to be. Alex Lee was out for 13. Ole Pope, yeah, he preached on for 67 from 77 ball. Root made 23. And that's the most we can talk about there. We'll come to runs. Rabada.
Okay.
Yeah, Rabada, 4 for 81. Mm-hmm. 4 for 81 in 13 overs. Jensen, Marco Jensen, that giant of a bowler, he gives everybody trouble. He's 5 for 35, 12 overs and 2 balls. And Noki, 1 for 29 from his 9 overs. So we know what happened. Is that South Africa went into bat again. And it's an Erie, the opener, he made 26, and Elgar, the captain, he made 36. Peterson, 23. And that was all she wrote when it comes to the batting. And then James Anderson, this time he took 2 wickets for 37 and 15 overs and 2 balls. Ole Robinson, 2 for 40 from 15 overs, 2 for 40, 5 maidens in total. Chris Broad, rather, Stuart Broad, 13 overs, 2 for 45, in 3 for 45, rather. So he took, 3 for 45 in second. And then Ben Stokes, the captain, 13 overs, 2 maidens, 39 runs, and 3 wickets. So that means that England went into bat in the fourth innings. And so far, Alex Lee is 32 not out from 61 balls. Zach Crawley is 57 not out from 44 balls. And overall, England needed just 33 runs. 33 runs.
Yeah.
And it could be a mountain, who knows. But I would love to see them knock it off without losing a wicket this time. That means we'd have had 3 test matches, 2 would be finishing by defeat for one side. They exchange defeat by an inning, and then this one would like them to just win this one by 10 wickets. 97 without loss, just 17 overs. So in the morning, God willing, 33 runs to make an entire day to do it.
Can I come in here?
Yeah, no, I don't know if
anybody has remember seeing a field set with 6 flips in place. England employed 6
West Indies in the 80s.
In place today. Mm-hmm. In the 80s. Well, I'm saying some of you weren't born yet,
Virgil.
But England employed 6 flips today. Man, that was rather unusual. And another incident happened today. Once I said that occasionally a batsman, if he slumped LBW, he walked. Do you know today Elgar walked? And when they replayed, the ball was missing the leg stump by another.
Oh.
If you had another stump in place, the foot stump,
it would have missed it too.
It probably would have missed it too.
Well, that's why when it comes to leg before, if there's a tick behind you know you're out, you walk. But when it comes to leg before, I'm not going to walk like that because the umpire is in front. Sometimes where you think you are, you're not really at that place. You shuffle and you could be a little outside the leg stump and, you give yourself out. I'll leave that for the umpire when it comes to leg before.
No.
But if I tickle the ball, when you say he walked,
he gave himself out.
He just walked.
In front of
the umpire didn't put up his finger?
No,
before he just walked.
He walked. And another question I'm going to bring to the panelists. Can the umpire intervene?
So what kind of out is that then?
LBW.
What?
Because they appeal and I don't understand.
He walked.
Before the umpire put up his fingers.
Mm.
Right before the umpire put up his fingers, he walked because he was plumb in front. He thought he was plumb in front.
And the
but the umpire did put up his finger, though.
No.
Eventually. The umpire did put up his finger.
No.
Eventually.
To,
after he walked.
I didn't see, and according to the commentary, they didn't say that he put up his finger, but the umpire did not call him back.
Okay, and another
walked.
Part of that now.
So for the umpires here, you know. My question is, umpire doesn't have the rule to say, well, let me check first. In a case like that?
No, you have to apply
if
for that.
If he walked, the guy walked today. He gave himself out. He felt he was hit plumb in front, and he, as a result of that, he walked.
Because the problem, especially in England, you have the moving ball. So even if the ball hits you here, it depends on how far the ball is going to move down the leg side or out the off stump.
That is true.
It's best to leave it to the umpire and let them use the technology then and give you out. But when you walk, you give yourself out and walk up, technology isn't going to save you again, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Another question, President. If a ball you hit on the pad and no appeal, can the umpire give you out? There's no appeal.
No.
You have to appeal.
Leon, one comment about that question you raised. The umpire may intervene if he thinks a player is walking out under the impression that he's been given out. The umpire may intervene in that instance. In the other instance, the umpire may not intervene unless the captain of the fielding side
call him back.
Ask the umpire to correct that decision call to bring the player back. Mm-hmm. In which case, if the player has not left the field of play, then the umpire may call him back. But if the player has already left the field of play, then he's not allowed to come back. Okay?
That's what I said once.
Wait.
Yeah, we had a discussion before, and I said I wouldn't walk unless the umpire gives me out. If I play a ball back...
I remember that, Simon, yeah.
If I play a ball back to the bowler, and I see...
Wait, Virgil.
Don't say that. If I see Virgil take a clean catch over his head, chest high, I would walk. Mm-hmm. But if the ball hit on the pad or stumping, I wouldn't walk until the umpire gives me out.
Right.
The umpire's duty is to give me out, not for me to give myself out.
But I'm saying this today, the captain of the South African side walked for LBW.
And he was batting well.
He walked for LBW.
Well, he thought he was out. He thought he was out.
He thought he was plumb.
Which was a mistake.
Well, he might have hit him in front, but that ball was moving so big. That ball was swinging down the left side. And he would not have been given out. So,
Leon, I think Coach Patel has joined us. I think he may have an insight into the question you raised.
Okay, well, why don't you bring him in for me? Oh, yes.
Go ahead, Coach.
Go ahead. Coach, give us your take.
What happened?
Oh, we thought you were...
I just joined.
Oh, okay.
Did you hear about Ager? Ager, the captain for South Africa, walked for an LBW today? An appeal was made for LBW.
Okay.
And the replay showed that the ball was swinging so big that he was down almost to the second slip if you had two on the leg side. But...
Okay.
He walked
and the batsman
before the
walked
umpire
out?
Gave him out.
Yeah.
He walked before the umpire even responded. He just walked. And he was batting well. He was on 30-something, I think he was, or 41 or 2.
And then what was the reaction of umpire? Did the review or just let it go?
Well, show the review afterwards, and the ball was definitely going... The ball would have missed the first stump if they had a stump on the left side and probably hit the second stump.
Okay.
So why did he swing? So my question to the panelists, whether or not the umpire could have intervened. And the answer is no. So he gave himself out. Do you agree with that or
well,
not?
Well, this is the fishy thing, I will say. As far as I know, as a player and coach all my life, the batsman is supposed not to walk off on LBW. You can walk off on stumping. You can walk off on run out. You can walk off on catch, because those are the things you know 100% whether you are in position or not. But especially in LBW, I will say no. That's the player's fault.
He should not.
He has to stand his
so.
Ground, let the appeal go. If they need to third umpire, let them third umpire decide. But I will say on LBW, I will not make a move.
No, that's what I said too. That's what I said. Okay, Mr.
And now another part, if the player is walking away from the batting crease, then I will say he is losing the advantage, because the umpires, there is no such rule and they cannot bring him back.
If he wants
but
to
how
leave.
About the captain can call him back, couldn't he?
Yes. Yes.
Captain can ask him to
wait
the
captain.
Yeah, but the captain could not show it was not out, you know, because you only see it and they replay. So the captain would not call back somebody
right,
like that,
right,
because
too.
The captain
right,
cannot say he was out.
Virgil.
He was not out, you know.
Virgil.
So.
Virgil.
Yes.
Even in the instance where a man may have been caught, at least behind the wicket, for example, and he's leaving, if the captain asks the umpire to call the man back, the umpire is bound to ask him to come back. As long as the captain has said, I don't think that man was out, and can we have him back?
Yeah,
then
no,
the umpire...
I understand that part. But
okay.
For LBW, wherever the captain feeling, most likely, captain is in a good position to say that, hey, for the LBW that the guy walked, we just said, call him back because you don't believe the ball was out. When the ball, remember now, when you watch it and tech, when you watch it on the slowdown,
we're bringing
you see exactly what the ball. But fast motion, wherever the captain would, he could not say the ball was hit in middle stump or something like that. So he would not call him back for that. But a caught behind or a stumping or something like that, I mean, the captain can see it from there. But for LBW, that would be completely different for a captain to call back somebody.
All right. Let's see your Hiver.
Yeah,
you're on.
Mr. President, I'd like to ask
Simon.
Hold on, Simon. Ivor, come
ahead,
in.
Ivor?
Yes, his hands up.
Yeah, we're waiting
he
for you, Ivor.
He must be muted. He must be muted from his end. On his phone.
Ivor?
We have him open, so. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, can you hear me? Can you hear
yes,
me?
We hear
yeah,
you now.
We're hearing you now, yes.
Okay, good evening. I'll go straight into the discussion. No, I think we have it twisted, you know, Liam. The umpire gave Edgar out. And Edgar did not review.
Yeah.
Because
so,
the umpire could not
I think
have
the commentator,
him.
I didn't see the umpire, the commentator said that he walked before. And even Kevin Peterson was saying that is wrong for him to do. The commentator in the booth was saying that.
No,
so
no,
I didn't see the umpire.
I'm seeing something different. As a matter of fact,
I'm
going to go to Quick Info. Hold on. There's a commentary on Quick Info. Hold on. I'll read it back to you as it happened.
But the commentary in the box said,
They made an error.
Yep.
Let's see. Okay, here it is. 21 overs and 4 balls. A full straight and given this time. Nathan Mason was just bidding his time, brought a full one through Edgar into the front pad, and up goes the finger. Edgar doesn't tarry, though a quick second look suggests this might have been closer than it initially seemed. Hawkeye update: missing leg stump by a distance. How significant could that non-review be? 83 for 2.
Okay.
The umpire gave him out. You're not walking.
But the umpire...
Jason is
well,
right.
The commentator didn't say that, though. The commentator did not say that.
Yeah, that's what the commentator.
Kevin Peterson was in. Yeah, okay. Well, the commentator.
What I'm telling you,
Liam, because I wasn't
the
watching
commentators.
The game.
You
wait,
don't
wait,
walk
wait,
under every
wait,
W.
Wait,
because
wait, wait,
let me finish
wait,
it. Let me finish it.
Wait, wait. Let me finish before you make the point. I'm saying, my point is that Kevin Peterson,
yes,
and South Africa, he was in the box and he was upset. So go ahead now.
Okay.
So
well,
why would he upset
what
him?
What I'm
if
saying
he was
is, the umpire.
Because maybe he upset because
that
the ball was. The review.
He should have reviewed.
Give Iver a chance to talk.
Jason
give
is right. You do not walk under FW. If he would have walked, the umpire is responsible for the correctness of score. If he had walked, the umpire would have never gone out there and put LBW. He cannot do that.
Yes, he would
have
said.
He would have said
something.
Retired out.
Retired out. Correct. I accept
yeah,
that.
Cannot walk
but everybody
and
was
LBW.
Even the young Peterson, I watched the replay, and even the young Peterson was shaking his head for the captain too. And Kevin Peterson said
it.
I heard him.
He should have reviewed it. So
if
that umpire didn't put up his finger and a batsman walked, he is retiring out.
Retiring hurt. Retiring out, yes.
Yes.
Okay, a question for Mr. Patel. Mr. Patel, are you listening to me? Mr. Patel?
Yes, I'm listening.
Listen to me. Okay. Ivor bowls to me. I'm the batsman. Ivor bowls to me, and I'm hit on the pad. No appeal. Can the umpire give me out?
No.
As far as I know, this is the thing as it is. The one thing is 100% wrong that player walks away on LBW. That's supposed not to be. He should have stayed his ground. But I can understand another part. This is the situation. This is the pressure where anyone can make a mistake because this is the 10th series, 1-1 for both teams. And someone has to win this one too in this series. So basically, this player might have come under the frustration because of the pressure and got into the emotional to get this ugly decision. Indirectly, I will say, we have seen it in past. I'm talking 30, 40 years back when everything is going against your team. If the umpires are raising fingers for everything, why I should wait for the umpire to give me out? They're going to give me out anyway. I better walk out.
Yeah.
So that
yes,
might
Jason,
be the case.
Jason,
you know?
Jason, if an umpire, if there's an appeal to LBW and the batsman is walking, the umpire is going to raise his finger for LBW.
Exactly.
He would have been out. Other than that, he cannot walk out on an LBW. But the umpire will do that.
Yep. Even he don't, he's still out because you are walking away on your own.
But it's what is recorded though. Whether the bowler gets credit because if the player walks away, retired out.
Yep.
And
so you wait for the decision, or if you walk
away, you become a retired.
That's what I'm saying. So the umpire has to raise a finger for it to be recorded
as
LBW. That's the long and short of it.
I don't know. I didn't see, but I hear Kevin Peterson was arguing and saying he should have reviewed.
Reviewed.
He should have reviewed it. Yes.
Yes.
He should have reviewed it. The only way he can review it is if the umpire would have given him out.
Right.
You can't review if the umpire don't give you out.
Yes.
No.
Yeah. So
that was my question to Mr. Patel. If I'm hit on the pad, there's no appeal. Can the umpire give me out?
No.
If umpire makes the decision to get you out, he has to raise the finger. And in this current law situation, if it is not at first on sight, then it might be after the review. But if the umpire does not give you signal raising his finger or speaking out loudly out, supposed not to walk away.
Well, of course, so Edgar made a mistake by not reviewing, but
yeah,
the umpire gave him out. He did.
Pardon.
That is why you have... And the
I guess why Kevin
threw the finger when you're out, you have to say out and raise your finger. So these umpires, I'm sure they would have said out and raising the finger. That's where you are.
But do they have any review left? That might be the situation. Do they have any review left?
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
they must have done. Must have done because they,
yeah,
they
that's
had
my
the report.
I know Kevin was very upset, so I didn't see the
there was a review and he did not use it. As a matter of fact, the umpire
anybody,
was saying not out. That you're not reading what they're saying. The umpire was giving him not
Mr.
out.
Francis.
The umpire was not giving him out on other appeals. The umpire was signaling not out. This time, the umpire raised his finger. This time.
Look,
well, I didn't
get the
impression
as a commentator.
The commentator.
First of all, you just said the guy should review it. First of all, once you look, because the commentator, they already see it. I see the ball missing the leg some by far. That's why they were upsetting and saying he should have reviewed that out.
Yes.
Because the commentator, they're definitely mad and say, like, why he didn't review that. Because what you see before, anybody else see, you see the big replay, and the replay showed that the ball missing this far. So that's why the commentator probably was so upset that he didn't review it.
Well, that's not the impression I get from him. The young Alvarez won the U.S. Open. Carlos Alcaraz.
And now he's number
one.
Now he's number one, and at 19 years old, I predicted he was going to win from Wednesday night. When I saw he beat the number one, I said, that guy
when he
is
beat
on fire.
Not us.
That guy,
No, he beat
is the American
the number
beat,
one guy. And,
Tiafo.
Yes.
The American, the young American.
No, that
beat
was in
him.
The semifinals. No, Tiafo was number 20.
I'm talking about
that was
the one before
Nadal. We're talking about Nadal.
Well,
Nadal was beaten by the young American whose father is from Sierra Leone.
Sierra Leone.
He was born in Maryland. And the father, he used to sleep on massage beds. And his father worked for tennis company or court company.
That's the black guy you're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
he cried when he lost.
Do you know he made twice as much money by beating Nadal? He was $3 million. His net worth was $3 million, and he went up by another $3 million in a day. And he had Michelle Obama inside the cheering for him too. You saw her?
Yes.
Because he was the lone American left in the thing, man. So they had to cheer for him. But anyway, he'll come again.
Can I ask Coach a question? Coach, USA Cricket membership update says that they're currently making plans to conduct the delayed 2021 election in late September. So members needed to make sure that their membership dues are paid. But my question for you is this. They've just 2 months ago completed the 2020 elections. Why are we now having a 2021 election 2 months later? What is the point of all of this? Can you explain to us why this is necessary? Because we're in 2022. When will they have the 2022 election?
Well, the first thing is, let me just tell you one minute.
20 over, 161 for 9. 20 over.
Okay, go ahead now, Jatin. Go ahead.
Sorry about that.
First thing first is the 2020 election, the delayed one, need to be completed first, and then it comes to 2021. But because of this corona, they are trying to catch up the schedule and calendar both. Now, the 2020 election has a different qualification for the members. In fact, they are going clock back to 2020. Whoever is eligible for that election are the only one allowed to vote. And there will be a different voters from 2021. Because if this election was held in 2021, this will have the different group of people to vote. And that is the reason now they are trying to catch up. Another thing is, if they do 20 and 21 now in 22, then probably by 2023, we can back to the normal schedule without delaying further future elections. Now, another concern is the 2020 delayed election. They started nomination and candidate selection about 6-7 months back, actually. So even they know that there is an election coming back to back, there is no way to combine together. They have to do this separate election. So now it makes more sense to go for another election. Well, they say September, end of September election means they will make decision about how they're going to proceed, how many board members are up for election. And then the first thing will be how many want to contest. Once that part is done, they are going to be probably, my expectation, the election could be held in November, not before that, because they take little time. So at the moment, I think if you are reading that media release, it's all about going back. And if you meet the criteria and condition, you need to make sure that everything is okay as far as the information concerned, so they can put you in an eligible voters list. That is the process is ongoing.
So you get elected for 2 months and then you're not elected after 2 months?
Well, it's hard to tell, but it looks like they are pushing this election to finish before end of the year. That's what I can say. It's not sure how it's going to happen, when it's going to happen, but they are trying to speed up this process, and without further delay, they want to complete this election from last year, because those three board members are working on the board as a extensive year compared to their original limits for 2 years or 3 years.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Make little sense to me, but carry on. Thank you.
Yep. Anything, anybody? Simon, any questions you want to ask? Anybody? Ivor, you have anything to add? Or anybody else has anything to add?
Well, Ivor might be able to help us with this one. Ivor, the Toyota Minor League Championship was completed this year. Originally, they said it would be 2 years and then the major. What next do you know? Are we going to have a minor league championship next year, or are we going for the major league championship next year?
In my opinion, let's just stick with the minor league. They're not ready for majors.
Minor league and major league
are two different things. Guys, minor league and major league, two different things, just like the baseball has.
Mm-hmm.
They will be going parallel, but the big games will have the different schedule between six cities. That's what I read so far. And my expectation, minor league will stay as it is, but some of the players from minor league will be playing in major league. There will not be a situation, which I doubt for, if they allow a player to play both. You can either play major league or you stick with the minor league.
How many major league teams will there be?
Probably six. Mm-hmm. That's what we have heard so far.
So probably.
Are you telling me they're restricting the minor league players from the major league players? From the team?
The major league will bring a lot of foreign players. That's my expectation.
Yeah, but are they limiting
them? And on top of that,
are they not limiting the amount? They have not sent
us or a declarative detail, so it should be wait and watch. But for my impression is they will have a limited pool of players coming from minor league to play in major league, and they are bringing more star players from outside. That is how you can make an impact in the market. But again, this is my expectation and opinion. We still have to wait and watch and to see what exactly Major League up to and what are the combination or chemistry they are bringing in or what are the protocols and procedures they are trying to set forth for the players. That is the thing we have to look for it. And at the same time, what cities will be hosting these Major League games? And if they are hosting, where are the stadiums? They have to prepare the stadiums to do that. So it's everything is
question,
there. And again,
question to you, Mr. Patel.
Go ahead.
After the launching of the Major League, you say 16. Will any of the minor league teams, let's say the two top teams, the winner of the finals and the losing finalists, will they get a chance to be promoted to the Major League?
Absolutely no. Absolutely no. As I said, minor league and Major League are two different leagues, and I doubt it if they can mix it up something like this. This is not a league like a regular league's play. So I will say Major League will be the 64 teams, and they will have different criteria and combination to pull out the players. And then most likely, as I said, if somebody is playing Major League, why they want to play minor league? So that will be the separate pool of players.
Well, I'm thinking just like soccer and anything else. If you have a promotion and demotion or anything like that. Even if there's no demotion where the Major League is concerned, but the two can be promoted to join the Major League.
No, this is IPL, USA style.
This is kind of
okay.
IPL.
But IPL will have foreign players, and they will have some of the young players from the country where they exist. Yeah. So it bothers me that they don't try to get some develop the American cricket by instead of bringing in one or two players. You know, they mean that they want to bring foreigners, but they should have some youth involved or some players from the minor league.
Well, they may
included.
Have Leon.
Isn't that a bunch? Huh?
No, they may have. Remember, as Chetina said, they've not made any decision exactly how many clubs,
exactly
how many teams, how many. So it may well be that they will use some minor league players in the Major League, but it's nothing has been decided yet. So I guess we have to wait and see.
I hear you.
Exactly. As I said, we need to wait and watch to see how they're going to launch Major League and what should be the procedures, rules, regulations, or protocols they are putting together for the teams. That will be the key. You know, until then, it's very hard to anticipate or predict something, what the Major League look like. But looks like the way their media releases we need, or they are targeting a premium league like IPL in US.
Okay, to Simon and to Jayton, would you include any of the guys who are involved in IPL in the West Indies team if they refuse to help the West Indies qualify for the 2022 World Cup? Example, like Russell and the works that don't play much except for the IPL, like Narine, perhaps Johnson Charles and Fletcher. Those are the four main guys who are outside. They're trying to earn an income around the world in the domestic leagues. Would you include them in the West Indies squad?
No, I wouldn't.
Well, it's up to the West Indies.
No, but
I'm asking you.
Jatin, I'm asking you, if you were a selector, would you include them?
Yes.
Okay. And Ivor, would you include them?
Absolutely not.
Thank you, my son.
Simon,
my
would you include them?
if they're the best players, yes. We want the best players to win.
All right. But you don't want the best players to help you qualify, Simon?
You want the best players to help you qualify, man.
Mr.
Paulson,
why did you put Jan Kuchar and Fletcher in that group with Narine and the others? Because those are the ones that refuse to play for West Indies. Not Jan Kuchar
and
get something out of
and Fletcher. So that they should be in that group.
When last Johnson Charles was available for West Indies? When last did he play?
No, no, they never
when
pick
last
him.
Did Fletcher?
They don't pick him. No, they don't pick them.
I don't think he was given a contract and he was called and refused.
No,
they
never
declined.
Pick him.
No, not Charles.
Okay, well,
Johnson Charles went to Australia with his bats full with runs, came back to the West Indies. West Indies are looking at opener, and they overlooked that kid.
Exactly.
And bring
okay.
a second,
he has all right
second.
To go and look for an earning. He has all.
Well, you see, you can put Russell, and the Ryan in a same group. And that was the decision because Russell and Narayan do not play in our local competition and they don't want to represent West Indies only when the World Cup they want to be available. And that is totally wrong. I don't care how good they are, that is totally wrong for these guys who want to represent us only when the World Cup. I would never ever pick them.
There,
no way.
Leon, we have 6 minutes remaining in the show, Leon. So
okay,
to
yes,
wrap
I
up.
Know. Go ahead.
Okay.
Why don't you pull up
thing?
A song for me?
Let me just say this. Where Virgin
go
is
ahead.
Absolutely right.
Dennis.
Cricket is a team sport.
Say that again.
This is what we are running away
pull
from.
Pull up a song for me.
Oh,
cricket
I go with Rally.
A team sport.
Hmm?
You cannot have these individuals.
I've got one.
I'll
go with Rally around the West Indies.
No, no. Okay, go with something different.
You guys are on here.
Okay. All right.
Instead of in the background.
Yeah.
What I'm saying here, cricket is a team sport. And you cannot have a winning combination with people not in the huddle, not a team's meeting. The chemistry will not be there. I don't care how good you are. Lava by himself making 400 runs and not winning. Lava by himself making 100 after 100 and the team losing. That's not a winning combination. So bringing in Russell because he hit 30 runs from 6 deliveries. What am to the rest of the team? And you still lose. There's nothing to be glorified about. So build a team. Build a team and have the chemistry.
I agree with you.
Well, you. Build a team.
Have a good night,
guys. If they pick,
all right.
If they
thank
decide,
you.
To, in my view, if they decide to pick them, I say they must be fit. They should pass the same fitness test. Not like Russell that went to the World Cup and he was not able. If he goes to the qualifying stages of our matches and play, help us to go through, I would say, yes, I'll pick him. But if he just stay away and don't go, and then waiting when we have selected the squad and said that I'm available, I say no. That's what my take on that. And anybody has any point? Because we're coming to the end, and I'm going to ask. Donna, are you available to send us all home?
I'm right here because the game is on break.
Why don't you?
Yes. By fair chance, we have to make 162 from our 20
yes.
overs. And I hope that they can do it so that I can feel happy.
Okay.
And on that note,
well, anyway,
nice show
as usual. Yes, I was a bit distracted because of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, little section that I was in, I would say it was a great show. Thank you to everyone who listened, all the contributors. And we'll see you next week. God's willing.
Yeah,
happy birthday to my dad.
All
yes,
right.
Yes.
See you on the radio assignment as Mr.
McKenzie.
McKenzie,
okay.
See you in the radio. And Dennis, take
yes.
it away.
Okay. There we go. Action, burning flames.
Come on, action.
Coming,
action.
Coming up.
Coming up.
Hey, we hungry and we have.
There you have it, folks. Good night.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Dennis Closer.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. Make sure you tune in to Caribbean Global Voices next Saturday to start your weekend right, and we will see you all here again next Sunday. Caribbean Global Voices, you know, you can call them at 563-999-3693. Plenty of entertainment for you on your Saturdays. So don't forget. See you all next week. Good night.
Good night. Good night to you, Dennis. Thanks for your assistance. Good night.
Good night
to all. Good night all. Good night all. Good night. Thank you. Thank you.
Good night all.
Good night.
Good night. Have a blessed week.
You also, sir. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Dennis, you close.